much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
When Larry King died, they didn't just cancel the show. They got Pierce Morgan to come in and do his show, and that way... Larry lives on.
Well said.
Yeah, Larry?
Thanks, Anderson.
But then he scores a basket even though he's not a wolf anymore.
We're here with Tracy Jordan, who just recounted, by the way, the entire plot of the movie Teen Wolf. What? Oh, hold on, Tracy. My producers are telling me there is breaking news. And now...
The only secret in this business is there's no secret. Be yourself. If yourself is good enough, it's good enough. If it's not good enough, it ain't good enough.
Our feature presentation.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
So that happened.
So that happened indeed. That's, by the way, that should have been, somebody should have been there to say, so that happened. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
What's up, party people? Welcome to a new show. It is Monday. It is the 2nd of May I See Them. So... what do we think?
We think that's a good thing.
Yeah, better late than never.
I suspected everybody would be pretty happy today, except for Omar Khan, who works at our show. Maybe yeah. He's the one who has some reservations about the news. It was weird. I was a little bit surprised, by the way. I shouldn't be, because I am a heartless bastard. But I was a little bit surprised to see how quickly thousands of people mobilized in so many places around the country, particularly at the White House and particularly at... Ground Zero, just because it has seemed to me like Osama bin Laden has been so out of the picture for so long and so off the radar that it was like, oh, that's good. That's good news. It didn't strike me as significant, except for on an emotional level. Yes. I think on a realistic level, I don't know that he's been running the show for a long time, but maybe we'll find out more about that. Maybe, in fact, he has been. Just seems like he's been the guy in the cave that we kind of forgot about for all these years. And he hasn't been the one who's really been all that involved anymore.
Yeah, it does seem like we've been told for quite a few years that Al-Qaeda was splintering off and there were different groups and there wasn't any big head anymore. So you're right. I guess it's symbolic.
It's symbolic. Ways. It's very much symbolic. And it was nice. I mean, it was nice to see people so happy about something, you know, and just so spontaneously. And what a dig on Donald Trump to kill the last 10 minutes of his show. When the president butted in, he wasn't even ready to talk. They just wanted to F Trump.
Yeah.
First,
I was watching it.
Did you hear the, what is that called, the correspondence dinner?
Yes, the White House correspondence dinner.
Where he just went to town on him, and then this, it's like boom, boom.
I know, I've got that tape coming up later on today, too. But I mean... you know, the president wasn't anywhere near ready to give his speech, and NBC broke in with 13 minutes left on Celebrity Apprentice, you know, Donald Trump's show, and just nailed it. Hilarious. That's the version that I was watching, and I had to go online to find out who got voted off. it turned out it was Osama bin Laden. He's awesome. Who got voted off.
Yes.
But it is interesting. I mean, just to watch, you know, those types of news events, the magnitude of them when they just explode like that. And to hear what everybody has to say and to hear, you know, how many people wanted to make sure. Well, first of all, the bizarre thing is, maybe we'll talk about this later on today, was how many people, and I'm sure the percentage was very, very small compared to the total numbers of people, but there were so many people who were going on their Facebook page and saying things like, oh, it's Osama. I heard it was Obama. Now I'm not so happy. There was so much of that
really?
Going on. Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, my.
Partisan politics aside, this is your commander-in-chief who just killed Osama bin Laden. It seems like, I don't know, give him a minute.
Yeah, what do you want?
Just give him 1 minute to say, hey, nice job. I still don't like you. I'm still not going to vote for you. I still think you're doing a terrible job or whatever it is. But at least, hey, nice job. Even if you want to give President Bush some of the credit and say, hey, nice job for continuing to carry on the mission, you know? Something. I don't know. It didn't take but a second for people to just be railing on the president for it.
Well, it definitely seems like there is a very small percentage of people that there is not one single thing he can ever do.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Ever. That is going to make them happy.
And that was true for George W. Bush, too. There were people, no matter how good the news was, no matter how, you know, what a good job he did at some things, there were people who just, they just want to write him off as being, you know, whatever.
Right.
But that was a little bit disappointing. But it's really fun to flick around and see all of the newspaper headlines on hundreds of newspapers today to see how they covered it. Most of them are, you know, Osama bin Laden dead. But then you got your New York papers. And in New York, it's personal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was the Daily News that said, we got the rat bastard or something like that.
Nice.
And I think it was the New York Post that said, rotten hell. So,
wow.
So they got it going on. But it's just, I mean, just great news. Just great news. And who lives in a $1 million house with no phone and no internet? I would have wanted to be killed if that was my life, like Osama bin Laden has been for who knows how long. No phone, no internet.
That's crazy.
Because he was worried about being tracked.
Yeah.
But that's no way to live, right?
I'd give up a year to have phone and internet.
I would, too. I would say, look, I know they're probably going to find me, but I got to watch my show.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I would say. But anyway, big shout out to the armed forces. That's unbelievable. And we'll have to talk about this later, too. But I wonder if the guy who shot him in the head is ever going to be revealed, or if that's just putting a big target on your back. I mean, I wonder if you can't be that guy to raise your hand and go, it was me. Do you just have to be shrouded in secrecy for the rest of your life, or is it something that comes out when you're old, or what?
Oh, I think you don't ever tell.
Yeah, but I think I'd want to be the guy. No,
I'd want to be the guy, too.
I capped Osama. What?
Free chicks?
Yeah.
Free drinks?
Absolutely.
I mean, you'd be a hero forever.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
You were
right.
The guy. Anyway, much to discuss, and we'll give you a chance to do that coming up here on today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. First, though, let's talk about what's up coming up on the show, shall we?
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
Well, we actually do. Actually, this is the time that we have for this kind of silliness. There is a professor from Oxford who says it is insulting to call your pets pets. You know, a lot of people for years have been calling them animal companions. Pets apparently is mean to them. Now, I don't know how they know that. I don't know why a dog would think that it's insulting to be called a pet. Dogs don't seem to really have that level of understanding of the English language. But we'll find out what he's got talking about on that today. Also, our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show is going to be in today. There's so much going on in sports that we need to talk about. And, of course, we're too cheap to have a sports guy. So that'll happen. We're going to play another round of one of our favorite new games, Chloe or Snooki Tweets.
Oh,
we read the tweets.
Can't wait.
You decide. We haven't done that one in a long time.
Nope. It was fun, though.
We do have a recap of the parts of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice that aired last night. We'll be talking about that. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who, by the way, I was very disappointed that he's not the guy who found Osama bin Laden. He seems to be able to find every other celebrity, no matter where they are.
That's a good point.
Why was Harvey dropping the ball on this? It seems like this is right up his line. Let me see. What else? How about this? How about a little concert that we like to call the Weenie Roast that happens every summer in Southern California? For as far back as I can remember, today is the day you've been waiting for. Today is the announcement of who will be playing and when you can get your tickets and everything that you need to know.
Excellent.
Am I missing anything else, Beer Mugs? Is that it? Is that the show?
I think we got it. You think you got
that
it?
Sounds like a show.
Yeah.
All right. Ralph is here also. Got the show biz beat coming up next right after this on the Kevin and Beat.
Not a lot of people left around.
Lack of enthusiasm at the end of that song, if you want my opinion. It's 106.7 KROQ, the world-famous Kerik. It's 551. Dear Kevin and Bean, Eddie's email begins, can't help but notice the day after Osama bin Laden is killed that Kevin's Special Forces writer is not on the show. He must be going through debriefing, right? Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that something else?
Yes. Yes, it's something else, all right.
I can't see you, Ralph. It's too dark. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It is something else. Yes. Sure is something else.
What is going on with you? What's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. Move on. I don't know how long you're going to linger. It's good.
I just thought I might jump in and say something.
Kevin sure is gone.
Well, you know how he loves stuff like this.
Yes, he does.
Love. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph. I'm just going to sit back and let him do it by himself.
There we go.
Best kind of cooperation we get here.
Best April opening ever. For Vin Diesel and Paul Walker's latest installment of the Fast and Furious movies, Fast 5 pulled in $83.6 million.
Yay!
Are you kidding?
83.
What?
0.6.
Oh, my.
$1 million.
That's unbelievable.
That is. That's an entire run theaters for a lot of films.
Explain that to me, Ralph, because, I mean, there was a time, I know 4 was pretty successful. There was a time where this franchise was dead and people thought they'd never do another one. How did it come back so big and so strong?
I do not have any idea.
You were shocked as well.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought it would be number one for the weekend, but the difference between number one and number two in Rio with $14.4 million, it's ridiculous.
When I heard that Friday alone made $30-something million, I said, what the heck is going on with this?
I had no idea if people were waiting to see
some of it The Rock,
so
maybe?
Much.
Some of it is The Rock. It was added to the cast.
He's opened a lot of stiffs, so I don't think it's necessarily people going to see that, but maybe it's spring fever. I don't know. People itching to get into the summer blockbuster phenomenon phase of the year, and they went in droves. As I mentioned, Rio was number two. $14.4 million made it so this weekend. Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family, $10.1 million. Water for Elephants was fourth. And then Prom, in its debut, made mad about $5 million. That was good enough to make it number five. Hoodwinked 2 made $4.2 million. Another movie debuting this weekend. Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hop, and Source Code rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Mariah Carey finally popped out her twins on Saturday around noon here in Los Angeles. She and her husband, Nick Cannon, celebrated their third wedding anniversary in the same day. Boy and a girl, fraternal twins. The kids' names were not yet disclosed, but People magazine says that Nick and Mariah want something unique, but not wacky. Oh, yeah, we'll see.
Hmm.
Reportedly, the first music the babies heard, by the way, Mariah had her single played while the babies arrived.
Well, she's not an egomaniac.
No, not at all. She's playing her new album for her kids.
Okay.
They're not going to hear enough of that.
Family Services had to step in, by the way. It's tantamount to child abuse to play Mariah Carey. Lorenzo Lamas is a name we haven't heard for a while, but he's in the news because he got married over the weekend to his girlfriend, Shauna Craig. The only reason it's really noteworthy, in my opinion, is it's his fifth marriage. Mm. He's 53. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, 24.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude.
They've known each other for about 6 months. He has 6 children from his 4 previous wives, by the way. And
wow.
So Shauna, his new wife, is a year younger than his oldest daughter, Shane Lamas. So
he's a great bet.
That is got to be creepy for the daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no
well,
kidding.
He's her dad. That's creepy, too.
I haven't seen any pictures of her. Is she hot or not?
The daughter?
See, because Lorenzo Lamas had a show called Hot or Not.
Yeah!
Yeah!
And he had a laser pointer and he would point at people.
That was the turning point in reality television right there.
Sure was. I know who is hot. Former Miss USA Susie Castillo.
Oh, yeah. And except in that video.
She is very upset.
What?
She is complaining of an overzealous pat-down by a TSA employee. She said she was molested at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport after she decided to go through the pat-down rather than the body scanner because she's afraid of radiation. Here's her report. My private area was grazed 4 times, she complains. Then Susie filmed a video that she posted on YouTube complaining about the search. You can see it there. Everything the screener did was according to protocol, says the TSA. It was done correctly. She has discomfort about it. For that, we're sorry.
Who put sand in her vagina?
Oh, come on. So I'm sure there'll be some sort of investigation, but TSA is claiming nothing was inappropriate about the search.
If you're a lesbian TSA agent and you have the chance to, you know, feel up Miss USA, don't you go for that?
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't?
No. Chuck Lorre has announced he's trying to reboot 2.5 Men without Charlie Sheen. He wants to have the whole project ready to go by what they call the upfronts, where they present new shows to the ad men and the press. Well, as you can imagine, Charlie Sheen not pleased by that news. I think Charlie really thought somewhere in the back of his mind that he was going to get hired again on that show.
He has that idea that he cannot be replaced.
And then he goes on stage. At one point, wasn't he, Ralph, saying that there was an 85% chance he was coming back, even though as people weren't talking to anybody about it, they'd pretty much the door had been slammed on them.
Yeah, Charlie, as you can imagine, lives in a little bit of a fantasy world. But this letter that he released against Chuck Lorre was
spectacular.
I haven't seen a note like this since I broke up with somebody in the 11th grade. That's how much anger he put into this. You can read the whole letter on TMZ.com, but one of my favorite lines was, you were on your way out of Warner Brothers with a buyout and a cup of cold coffee in your shaky and clammy hands. And then I walked into your office, and you created a show based on my awesome life. He also calls him an a-hole and a pussy and a loser and a lot of other...
He was a pussy.
Yeah, he says that, and he says that his kids should be ashamed of him, and AA wants to throw him out because he's such a loser. And
oh, my God.
That's what AA does.
Yeah. Charlie also claims that Giants pitcher Brian Wilson is going to be his pitching coach on Major League 3. This movie that he claims that they're making that no one really has heard any news about. So
that is an expert move by a seasoned professional.
It is. And more movie news. I thought this was interesting. Can you copyright a tattoo? Well, Vic Whitmill, the guy who designed that distinctive tattoo that Mike Tyson wears on his face, says just that. He says that artwork is his and his alone. And the fact that Ed Helms wears the same tattoo in The Hangover Part 2. If you've seen the trailers, you know he wakes up with a tattoo on his face identical to Mike Tyson's. He's saying that's copyright infringement, and he is suing to stop release of the movie. Oh, it's a good thing Kevin isn't here today. He'd be so upset.
Now, that is, you're right, Ralph. It is an interesting question. If you create a unique new design for somebody's tattoo, can somebody else go out and get a duplicate tattoo? That's his argument, is that no, you can't, right?
No. And it'd be hard for Warner Brothers to argue that the tattoos are just similar because Mike was featured in the first film. And obviously they are identical if you look at the pictures side by side. So he is going to be suing to stop the film. I'm guessing he would settle for a check.
Yeah.
Yes.
Might be looking for that.
So we'll wait to see what Warner Brothers offers him. But I thought that was curious.
Because no reasonable person wants to stop The Hangover 2 from coming out.
No.
Just pay me first. That's what he's saying.
That's why they got Osama. He apparently wanted to stop Hangover 2, and Obama said, enough, no. Send in the Navy SEALs. We can't have it. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Christine Baranski. She is on The Good Wife, and she's very good on that show. 59 years old today. Actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, he's celebrating his birthday today with the biggest opening ever in April for any movie ever. 39 years old today. David Beckham is 36. Actress Jenna Von Oy from Blossom is 34 years old. Actress Ellie Kemper, she plays Erin,
she's adorable.
The receptionist on The Office.
Oh, she's awesome.
She is so funny and cute.
So cute.
She is.
31 years old. Singer Lily Allen is 26. And that's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's happening, and it's happening today. Details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011 coming up next hour right here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:07. Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, if you missed the president's remarks about the capture of Osama bin Laden, we do have some highlights of that for you, and we're going to take some phone calls on it. By the way, I'm already getting emails from people, just as you suspected, Beer Mug, who are saying that it's a conspiracy, that he's either been dead for years or he's not really dead. It's just publicity. It's Obama's reelection plan. It's on and on and on. So we'll discuss that coming up, too. All right. First, though, look, we're all animal lovers on this program, but I got to say, Professor Andrew Lindsay from the Oxford Center for Animal Ethics, he crazy. He absolutely crazy. He says in a new journal, don't call animals that are in the wild, don't call them wildlife, because they should be called free living.
Why?
Free living, not wildlife. Don't call them pets. That's a derogatory term for animals. Don't call them that. There's an obvious judgment here that should be avoided. He says that it has to do with the way people will treat animals if they are referred to in derogatory terms. Now, I'm not sure I get where he's coming from, but we asked producer Alex to line somebody up from him, and I believe we have the professor, Andrew Lindsay, on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Professor.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. The Oxford Center for Animal Ethics is a real thing?
It is. It is indeed. And we're most concerned about protecting God's sentient creatures.
Okay.
Creatures that we live alongside, we share our homes with, and we share the planet with, and how we behave towards them. And really, it's all about creating a condition where we all love and care for each other.
Okay. But what about, we'll talk about domestic pets in a moment, but let's start with wild animals.
No, please don't.
What?
Just say that horrible, horrible phrase.
Well, I mean, a wolf who's living in the woods doesn't know that I'm calling him a wild animal.
Oh, dear Lord, no. The wild animals gives the feeling that they're out of control and just barbaric and tearing and gnashing of teeth and killing. They live a very ordered life.
Okay,
we like to call them free-living animals, free-roaming animals, free-ranging animals, or little furry helpy people.
So you're saying don't even call them critters?
No, God,
don't call
no.
them beasts?
No, no, all these horrible, horrible phrases we've been using for hundreds of years, but in reality, our little hairy friends, they get their feelings hurt.
I see. Now, is there any way that you could stop your dog from barking? Could you do that, Professor?
Well, I own 17 dogs myself, and so one of them always seems to be going off about something at some point or another. So I'm afraid I can't, nor would I if I could, because they are free-centered creatures. They are God's children just as we are, and they have every right to express themselves however they see fit. And right now, one is pooping on my foot. That's how he's expressing himself. And that's okay with me.
It's interesting that you say you own these animals, because I heard that part of your campaign is to stop people from saying that they are owners. We no longer own pets. Is that right?
No, we're human caregivers.
Caregivers.
Yes. And the only reason I said that I own them is because I bought their asses. I paid hard, good money for them.
I see. That makes sense.
Yes.
They're not property, though. They cohabitate with us, is what you're saying.
That's right. We share this planet with them, and we have to be kinder towards them. We have to create a more cultural environment in how we refer to them, because if we don't, they will eat us.
I did not know that.
They will kill and eat us. Help me. My dogs have me trapped in my own home.
That's what's really going on here.
The big one's looking at me funny. I think I'm in trouble. Get the police, please. Shoot all these animals.
Oh, come on. You don't want to shoot them.
They're all bloody horrible creatures.
Do you think it's possible that they heard you refer to them as pets? Maybe that's what happened here?
Sometimes I slip up. It's so hard to call them wild ranging bollocks, all this craziness. I only say it so they won't kill me.
So this could be your last interview ever, but real quick before you go, is it also true that you're trying to eliminate phrases from the English language as sly as a fox, which, yes, by the way, sounds like a compliment, yes, eat like a pig, which, yes, just to me sounds like it's
they
accurate.
Hate that. The pigs hate that one.
Drunk as a skunk, you're saying? Yes. It's, yes, not accurate?
No, that and big as a Chloe. We're trying to change all those phrases.
Hey, thanks for listening to 106.7 KROQ, home of the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. Details 1 hour from right now on the way from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:20. It's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up. Also, Matt Money Smith will be here to talk all things on a huge sports weekend. First, though, how about a brand new special edition of Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
USA! USA! USA!
Very special
USA!
Edition of Bean's Death Corner, because there's only one story, and it's not really all that funny, but it is certainly significant. The news broke last night. And by the way, this is really interesting, and I'm not sure how this happened, but I guess there were multiple sources that had the information before the networks went with it last night. It had exploded on social media. It was all over your Twitter and your Facebook before any of the network guys were able to say it. And you got the sense from flipping around that some of them knew what the news was, but the news protocol is we're not allowed to say anything about it until a certain time or until the president does or something like that. So it almost seemed like CNN and Fox News and all of the networks that broke in, it almost seemed like they were way behind on the story. It was kind of old news by the time the president finally got around to saying it, because it had been confirmed by so many other multiple sources.
Wow.
Which is a little bit of a black eye. Mm-hmm. But if you were not up and watching your TV last night, I'm already hearing stories from people like the King of Mexico, for instance, who was at Disneyland, didn't get a text, didn't get a tweet, had no idea that it was even going on until well after the fact, and was really bummed out to miss out on something like this, by the way. This isn't the kind of news you want to find out later. You want to be there to see it unfold, I think.
Absolutely.
If you were not able to be there, if you have not yet caught up, we have edited down just some of the highlights of the president from the East Room last night, who was detailing some of what went down and how Osama bin Laden was not captured, but according to plan, killed, shot in the head. Here's what the president had to say.
Good evening. Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands. The 9/11 attacks were carried out by al-Qaeda, an organization headed by Osama bin Laden, which had openly declared war on the United States and was committed to killing innocents in our country and around the globe. And so we went to war against al-Qaeda. And so shortly after taking office, I directed Leon Panetta, the director of the CIA, to make the killing or capture of bin Laden the top priority of our war against al-Qaeda. Then, last August, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan. And finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda. Yet his death does not mark the end of our effort. We will be relentless in defense of our citizens and our friends and allies. We will be true to the values that make us who we are. And on nights like this one, we can say to those families who have lost loved ones to al-Qaeda's terror, justice has been done. Finally, let me say to the families who lost loved ones on 9/11 that we have never forgotten your loss, nor wavered in our commitment to see that we do whatever it takes to prevent another attack on our shores. And tonight, let us think back to the sense of unity that prevailed on 9/11. The cause of securing our country is not complete, but tonight we are once again reminded that America can do whatever we set our mind to. Let us remember that we can do these things not just because of wealth or power, but because of who we are. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
And suck it, Trump. Basically, yeah. what he's saying. If he didn't say that, at least that's what he was thinking.
A firefight. Hand to hand. Alex, how much do you want to have sex with that team that went in there?
I'm just happy that we hired Jason Bourne and he got the job done. This is what I'm envisioning in my head. I want to see the movie that George Clooney produces about this because I think it's going to be really good.
I wonder how many details are going to come out. I mean, they're starting to a little bit. I mean, this mansion that I guess is in flames now, I guess it's been burned down or is being burned down or something like that. The last pictures that I saw from that little town in Pakistan. I mean, so many questions come up. First of all, nice job, Pakistan, our ally, for not knowing this was going on. Right?
Oh, sorry, we didn't know the huge, 8-acre compound that's like twice the size of every other house. Our bad.
I guess they kind of put the clues together. The president was there talking about some of the intelligence, and I guess it was a courier for Osama bin Laden. That was one of the major clues that this is the house that he was in. We don't know how long he had been in the house. We do know that he was justifiably terrified that he was going to be tracked electronically, so there was no phone service, no cell phones, no internet in the house. I guess the house kind of stands out, though, because it's 8 times bigger than any other house in the neighborhood, I heard.
Yeah, fortified, armed guys around.
Apparently, this is like a middle upper class suburb, and there's a lot of like retired military officials. So he's literally hiding in plain sight.
And a military academy very close by.
Yeah, good job.
Not so much with the cave anymore, as we have been suspecting for a long time. I mean, who knows how long? I mean, it kind of sucks that Osama bin Laden got to live in a mansion for however long he got to live in a mansion. But at least thanks to that decision, he was easier to track down. So the helicopters show up. And what do they do, Alex? You and your boyfriend were up late dissecting how this worked. Did they lower a ladder and then rappel down into the thing? It wasn't big enough for them to land in the compound, was it?
We're dropping bombs. I don't know. We didn't get, we sort of got, I was on vacation last week in Vegas, so we heard parts of it like in the cab. And then, I obviously watched the news like everybody else. I was fascinated.
Right.
Apparently, there were a few women that died on the property, which sucks if you're some concubine or some maid.
Just I heard they grabbed
changing
someone.
The sheets. Sorry, know. And then there was a helicopter that went down, but obviously there were no American military who were hurt or even harmed, which is awesome. But the fact that there was a firefight and they were within close enough range, I mean, Osama was shot in the head. That's point blank
range.
I'm assuming if they're in the same room.
And they offered to, they tried to get him to surrender, and he wouldn't put up a fight.
Can you imagine that conversation? Seriously, just put the gun down. Seriously, we'll take you back alive. It's okay, come on.
Who's the badass who pulled the trigger on Osama bin Laden?
I want to make that guy. If it's a chick, more power to you. If you were undercover, I love it.
Beerbug said he'd have sex with the dude.
Yep. Absolutely.
Beer mug would like force me to be second in line. I'd have to laugh.
Jump right in front of you, Alex. Yep.
All right. It didn't take long. You'd think that this would be a unifying moment for America where everybody would go, hey, I don't care who you are or what you believe, but this is good news. This is USA, USA, USA. It didn't take long for this kind of talk to start. And here's the email I got from Kevin and Bean listener George.
Oh, no.
And they were gonna take your phone calls on the topic because, ladies and gentlemen, there's no big event that has ever happened. I don't care if it's the moon landing. I don't care if it's 9/11. There's no event that happens that the conspiracy theorists don't crawl out of the woodwork within minutes. Here's the email we just got from George. Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa. First of all, it's all a publicity stunt to gain votes for Obama for his next election.
Sure.
Right.
Because we're right in the throes of that campaign right now because election day is tomorrow. So, of course, they needed
timing.
To do this, right?
Timing,
right? I mean, if you're going to fake it, don't you wait a year to fake it, right?
Yeah,
what's the rush? Why do it now, right? Secondly, the body was dumped in the ocean. The evidence is lost. Okay, now let me stop right there for folks who haven't heard. Apparently, that is true. Apparently, the body has been buried at sea. In accordance to Muslim tradition, you're supposed to dispose of the body within a day of the murder, or the death. And they didn't want it, the United States did not want to turn it into a shrine. They didn't want to have a place where people could go and worship at the gravestone of Osama bin Laden. So he's in some mysterious point in the ocean. We don't know where it is.
But they're also trying to be respectful to his faith, quote unquote, not upset anybody.
They want to be more respectful to his faith than he was
to his faith. Exactly.
Good point.
Kevin, I mean, Lister Paul Lee, says, I think they shouldn't drop him in the ocean. They should plant his body at the South Pole, which, of course, is Earth's ass. I would love to see Al-Qaeda trying to make pilgrimage there. As far as I know, when no one owns the South Pole, so we don't need permission. But how funny would it be if you want to go and visit Osama bin Laden, you've got to go to the South Pole, Paul said.
That's awesome.
All right, George continues. Secondly, the body was dumped into the ocean. The evidence is lost. Now they're going to stage some pictures in order to give the public some sort of evidence. Lastly, all the audio tapes and videos that have been released have been staged by doubles. There is evidence that states the voices aren't the same, and there's more than one Osama lookalike in all the videos as well. He's been dead for some time. This is just being done so Obama's approval goes up. By the way, enjoy the show. Been listening for many years. And yes, I am crazy. Well, at least you said it, so we didn't have to. So 1-800-520-1067. We'd like to get your comments on George's theory that it's all a publicity stunt and that there's something we're not being told. I'm particularly interested in the conspiracy theorists. Or if you have any thoughts on it. I know this is one of those events that happens like 9/11, but the flip side of that, the happy side of that, where you've got something that you want to say about it, something that you feel or something that you noticed or something that you saw. We want to give you the opportunity to get that off your chest as well, too. So here's the number, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes. So the last poll that I saw, only 3 in 10 Americans thought that Osama bin Laden would ever be captured or killed. This was a bit of a surprise. I mean, I thought especially, and who knows, maybe they had a chance to look over the body and maybe we'll get some answers from the medical tests that they ran. I just thought the impression I got was that his health was so bad that he was likely to die of natural causes anyway before we ever got to him.
I like the fact he made his number 2, like his VP was a doctor, which I thought was really funny. I appoint you, not because you have a Harvard medical degree, but just because. You
know. Just because, right. So it was a bit of a surprise when the president broke into all the channels last night to announce that Osama bin Laden had been killed. We just read an email from Kevin Bean listener George who says the whole thing is a hoax. It's a publicity stunt for President Obama for the next election, because good timing there. Let's talk to Ian on line 2 to get us started. Eli, you hold on. We're going to get to you. Ryan, we want to talk to you also. Joe, don't go away. Who we got here? Ian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
Hi.
Good morning.
Dude, it's freaking USA Day. I swear, everybody should be just fist pumping in their car on the way to work, just screaming USA. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. What have you seen otherwise that has made you think that? I mean, have you seen other people have not felt that way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every single Facebook or Twitter post, for every single one that says, yeah, Osama's dead, there's a
let's remember that this is only one death and it doesn't pay back for everything else. Or let's remember, you know, that you're being judged too by God or whatever. Like, there's always a counter for everything. But, like, it's ridiculous how these people are just saying, like, oh, we don't know if he's really dead, you know? Like, we didn't see a body. Oh, now it's dumped at sea. Oh, that's convenient.
Hey, a lot of people are feeling that way, and I think, Alex, you were saying during the song there are people who just can't deal with good news for whatever reason, and maybe it's because maybe they braced themselves from being lied to because it has happened in the past.
Right.
The government is not the most trustworthy organization in the world,
and I completely understand that, and we've had legitimate reasons in the past to be concerned or worried, but I think particularly after 9/11, there's. And also with, you know, Twitter and everything, the pessimists of the world, you know, the half empty have a larger outlet. And sometimes they just can't accept that good S happens, just like bad S. So deal with it. Just be happy that we caught the SOB.
Thank you for the call, Ian. We appreciate it. And by the way, the bad stuff, thank you very much. The bad stuff that happens, I mean, there were just as many, maybe more people who insisted that the 9/11 was an inside job, even though it was already as bad as it could possibly be. They needed to make it worse somehow by saying somehow that our government was involved in it. Let's try Ryan, line three. Ryan, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Well, all I have to say is I'm not a conspiracy theory nut, but I believe if he was buried 4 hours later from the town of Battabed, if you look at a map, the ocean's more than 500-plus nautical miles away. How is that quickly, you know, done where the DNA was taken, pictures were taken, confirmed, and then, okay, let's bury him out to sea over 600 miles away within 4 hours?
I didn't hear that the burial had happened within 4 years. I heard that the U.S. troops took the body with them, and then it was some time later that the body was buried at sea. I did not hear that it all happened within 4 hours.
I'm reading here on online on news and stuff. I'm like, interesting.
On glennbeck.com, perhaps? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I mean, I think the timeline is going to be further revealed as we get deeper into the news cycle here. The Secretary of State's on TV right now giving some additional details, but we'll definitely keep an eye on that. I mean, the water burial, if you weren't listening a few minutes ago, apparently was twofold. One is in the Muslim tradition, you dispose of the body within a day of dying. And then two is the government did not want to make it a site. They didn't want to make it a Mecca, pardon the pun, for sympathizers to visit. All right, thanks for the call. Let's try Eli. Eli's on line four, calling us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Eli. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
Hi. Yeah, I'm part of the party who, it's not about a conspiracy, but just taking someone's life for me is just too powerful. And the fact that we're celebrating a, you know, murder, it just kind of doesn't sit well. It's not that, you know, that I don't think we should have gone in and maybe brought him to justice, you know, gone and put him in prison or something, but to actually go and take a life and then to have people celebrate that.
Look, there were a lot of people last night who were saying, as even though this is good news, we shouldn't treat it like the Super Bowl. It is a little more of a somber occasion than that. I get where those people are coming from. But if you go to Osama bin Laden's hideout and you ask him to surrender and he doesn't, what are you supposed to do? Just go, okay, I'll come back later and see if you've changed your mind. I mean, he had the opportunity to go to trial and be and whatnot and decided not to.
Yeah, again, I'm something called a pacifist, someone who just can't take a life, and even things like the death penalty don't sit well with me, but it's just, again, like, the more people who are celebrating it disturbs me, and, yeah, who are treating
How do you think we should be reacting today? Muggs, I need you to ride that phone line. Pay attention. How do you think we ought to be reacting today?
I know it should be done as in, you know, I remember the day that basically Saddam Hussein was put to death, and people were saying that it was a good thing, but I didn't see people going out into the streets making Facebook posts and things like that, you know, to just say, hey, it happened, it's a good thing, but to not go and, you know, do the tailgating party thing.
But doesn't that make more sense, though? Because Saddam Hussein's not the one who killed 3,000 Americans on 9/11. Osama bin Laden is. I mean, we had a personal stake involved in this one.
No, but still, both were evil men, obviously, who did evil things, but when Saddam Hussein, who we also actually obviously did think so, who was doing the same type of things that Osama bin Laden was doing, that we didn't do this, we didn't treat it this way.
All right, let me ask you one last question, then we got to move on to some other calls, Eli. Are you glad Osama bin Laden is dead?
I'm not glad we killed him, but, you know, I wish that there would have been a way that wouldn't have involved that.
Well, there wasn't. Thanks for the call. Let's try Joe, line six. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up? You're on.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to agree with George because, it has to be a publicity stunt. If it's not for the votes, I mean, it's to give the American people some kind of glimmer of hope. I mean,
why does it have to be?
Yeah, why can't it have actually happened? I'm just
curious.
Because,
I mean, he is not the one, he's not the one that single-handedly did 9/11. And they created this image in him that we had to fear him. And then now that he's gone, I mean, what the hell is next?
Well, we don't know what's next yet. But they did have him on video taking credit for 9/11, talking about how he was involved in the planning of how far apart the planes were and what he was expecting was going to happen and how joyous he was that it had gone down the way it did. I mean, if Osama bin Laden wasn't responsible for 9/11, who was?
Well, the videos of Osama bin Laden have been, you know, critiqued and everything. There's different videos of him, and you can clearly tell that there's something wrong with him. I mean, have you ever heard of the movie Zeitgeist?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yes. And Loose Change, of course, yeah.
There's more. It's not just me just, you know, oh, I'm going to believe everything this movie says. It's just you got to kind of look into it yourself.
Okay.
So we would be so lame to create that guy as our enemy and then wait 10 years kill him. Why wouldn't we create someone that we could take down in a year and then woo? Right. I mean, that's not good for us.
George Bush would have celebrated that in 2002.
I don't have all the answers, guys. What do you want me to say?
I'm just curious why you think it's a publicity stunt. Does that mean you think it did not happen, that they did not kill him?
Oh, I mean, he might be dead. I mean, possibly. I mean, I'm not
you just think
say,
he's
I'm
a
not
dude?
He's not. Yeah, he probably is dead. I mean, but...
But you're upset that it helps the president? I'm trying to figure out
I don't mean I don't really care for the president, don't get me wrong, but I mean that's nothing personal against the guy. I mean,
I'm trying to figure out what you think it's all about then. If you don't think he was the mastermind behind 9/11 and that's why we've been hunting for him for 10 years and that's why we killed him, I'm trying to figure out what you think is happening here.
Just everything else that's happened in the other wars, it's just a different time, a different era. I mean, what's war for us? It means death for us civilians. You know, it means, you know, heartbreak for the families and then
I think the families are feeling a little bit better today, though.
Honestly, good for them, really.
All right, Joe. We got to go. Right. Thanks for the call. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, Chris writes in, of course it's a conspiracy. Nobody? What the F? And it just so happens that all this happened on the 8th anniversary of Mission Accomplished? Sure, that's not a big F you from Obama to George W. I'm just saying, people can't just be happy.
Nope. It's impossible.
What's up? You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, 655. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Mark Holmes writes in, your listeners are effing crazy. How can people go through life with that kind of complete mistrust of everything? No wonder this world is so screwed up. Hey, next time, Bean, don't open the can of crazy on the air. It's ruining my Bin Laden is dead buzz. Sorry, Mark. Didn't mean to bum you out. All right. Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Have they talked about how much it matters? Or doesn't really in the given current political climate.
A little bit, yeah. I've heard a little bit of discussion.
He's really not the boss anymore,
no.
Right?
Right, right.
So it doesn't really mean all that much in terms of our safety in the war.
It's symbolic.
It's symbolic,
more
yeah.
Of a, yeah, it's more of a, well, like you said, like a symbol.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I said first thing when we came on today is I was just surprised to see thousands of people out in front of the White House last night because to me I heard it and I thought, hey, that's great news. But I thought in the big picture, it doesn't really mean that much.
They were mostly college kids, and let's face it, they'll do anything for a party.
Right? Maybe that's what it was. But I mean, then you also saw, you know, firefighters and, 9/11, family members.
Yeah.
Who obviously they felt a tiny bit of closure.
Sure.
Hey, it's been 10 years, but yeah, at least the guy who killed my guy is dead.
Yeah,
I mean, I can understand why certain people were very, very emotional about it. I was just a little bit surprised by how many people thought it was that significant. But
I think sadly a lot of people need to simplify things, and they need a good guy and a bad guy, and that is easy for them to wrap their heads around. Oh, this guy was like Hitler, and we win.
Right.
And it's just I just hope people don't let their happiness for the situation overshadow the fact that there's still a lot to be done and there's a lot to be
there are a lot of new Osama bin Laden's down.
Yeah, worse. You know, it's like Obama started this horrible burger stand and now it's franchised all over the world, you know? It's like McDonald's of terror. And there's all these little micromanagers out there who are even scarier than this dude was. So we gotta stay vigilant. But
when are they going to make a movie starring The Rock, Ralph? That's the important news.
They are making a movie starring The Rock. It is the story of the life of country music legend Charlie Pride.
For reals? Yeah. I was talking about an Osama movie. They're making a Charlie Pride movie?
Oh, you should have been more specific. Because you said he'd make a movie, and now he just announced he's making a movie. You should have talked to him beforehand.
Charlie Pride is black.
Yes, he is, Lisa.
Rock is barely black.
Charlie Pride was the, as far as I know, still the only preeminent black country singer.
Until Hootie came along.
Yeah, but Hootie doesn't count. Because he was like a crossover, failed pop star, so he had to go into country music because they'll let anybody in.
Yeah, Charlie Pride used to have to release records with no pictures of himself on it because if his audience found out he was black, they would never buy his records and burn his house down.
I love it. What? He's black? Get a rope. Charlie Pride, the life story of Charlie Pride starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. First of all, Charlie Pride was like a skinny black dude.
Right.
With like a really tight afro. Rock is barely black and he's huge and I don't. All right. Look, who am I to say?
Well, that'll be some acting.
Who am I to say that Rock can't do what he wants? Because if his movies made any money, then maybe I'd have some stock in him. Oh, wait a minute. Fast Five made $83.6 million this weekend.
How is that not a typo?
It's the biggest April opening in movie history.
It's shocking. What were the what were the experts guessing this movie was going to make, Ralph?
They were hoping for between 40 and 50. That would have been a satisfactory opening for them. Yeah, absolutely. Given the success of number four, they said, 40-50 will be over the moon if that happens. I don't think anybody saw $83.6 million coming.
Unbelievable.
Rio, which was in second place, to give you some perspective, only made $14.4 million.
Oh, wow.
Tyler Perry's Madea movie made $10 million, then Water for Elephants and Prom, the new Disney film, came in at number five. Hoodwinked 2 was six. Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hop, and Source Code, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Gotta love it when celebrity and politics cross-pollinate, like they did with Ted Nugent this weekend, who was a speaker at the National Rifle Association annual convention in Pittsburgh. The NRA welcomed Ted with open arms, and he got up on stage and he said, "You need to fix everybody in your life to be absolutely pro-gun." He preached to the choir. "You need to talk guns all the time. You need to talk hunting all the time." Ted then brought out something furry and murdered it in front of everyone to a standing ovation.
I don't want anybody to be a one-topic human. I don't want anybody to talk about one thing all the time.
Well, too bad. Don't hang out with Ted Nugent then, because he's going to try to fix you. And Kid Rock was honored yesterday by the NAACP.
Oh, why?
The Detroit branch of the Civil Rights Organization gave Kid its Great Expectations Award during their annual fundraising dinner. For his work on behalf of raising funds for civil rights.
Huh. Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. In fact, there were about 60 people out front of the center where it was being held who were not in favor of the award because Kid Rock does hang a Confederate flag on stage during his concerts.
Well, that is interesting.
Some black people don't care for that flag in particular.
Well, they're uppity, right?
Well, I don't believe so. Oh, I think
they have legitimate? Okay.
I think they have a legitimate bitch there. Kid says the flag has nothing to do with his personal politics. In his acceptance speech, he said, "I love America, I love Detroit, and I love black people." Well, all right, give him another award.
I do understand that for some people, the flag is just a prop now. It's just, hey, it's the Dukes of Hazzard. But from other people, it's a foreign flag for a country that the United States went to war with, and hundreds of thousands of people got killed in that war.
Yes. It was our bloodiest conflict ever. And I think the black people especially have a sore spot for that flag.
Understood
and accepted. And I don't know why he's waving it when he's from Detroit.
That was more importantly. Question.
It's not like he comes from Alabama or something. Yeah. Right. He's from freaking Detroit. He should just have a big GM up on his stage or some sort of hood ornament. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christine Baranski is 56 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, soon to be seen as Charlie Pride in a Cineplex near you. Who wants to see that?
I can't imagine.
It's not like a lot of Charlie Pride people are saying, "Hey, where's our Charlie Pride movie?"
Yeah, and it's not a Johnny Cash movie or somebody like that who has had widespread influence and
millions of fans around the world recognize him as an influential early rock star. Charlie Pride, I don't get that.
What was his biggest hit ever, Charlie Pride? I can't even think of a Charlie Pride song.
Kiss an Angel Good Morning, probably.
Kiss an Angel Good Morning.
Is anybody going to San Antonio? Those were probably the two biggest pop hits for Charlie Pride. But, I mean, again, we're going way back to the early 70s. It's not like a guy like Johnny Cash that continued to stay influential.
So there's no demand for a Charlie Pride movie, and I can't imagine any demand. People saying Dwayne Johnson has to sing.
Yeah.
The Rock must sing. We will not rest until Dwayne finally sings.
Anyway, he's 39 years old today. David Beckham is 36. Ellie Kemper, who is Aaron, the receptionist on The Office. She's adorable.
I never knew her name before, but I love her so much.
Now you know her. Ellie Kemper. She's also going to star in the upcoming
Bridesmaids
movie, which looks very funny. She's 31. And singer Lily Allen celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All I'm saying is the K-Rock Weenie Roast is happening soon. That's what I'm saying.
I don't get it.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. We've got details, everything you need to know to go to this year's show coming up next here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:10. This is the Kevin Abid Show on a Monday, a recap of last night's Celebrity Apprentice, what I saw of it before the president interrupted. We've got that coming up later this hour here on the Kevin Abid Show. First, though, time for a brand new edition of Kevin Abid's Celebrity Tweets.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah,
indeed. Ralph, you mock me, but you'll be happy to know I don't follow either Chloe or Snooki.
Oh,
so I have
right. Please,
that's shocking.
I don't believe it either. Liar.
I'm not interested in what either of them have to say, but that's part of what makes the game so fun. Ralph is going to be reading tweets, and all we have to do is try to identify whether the tweet comes from Khloe Kardashian, and if so, we're going to hear this sound. Or is it the lovely Snooki? And if so, we'll hear this.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Yeah, well, of course.
She's so charming. Would.
That's right. It's been a while since we played this edition of the game. You know, we do a lot of Kanye or Diddy. What do the girls tweet about, Ralph? What's their theme? Any hints for me here?
Nothing of any interest to anyone ever. It's just okay. I'm dumber for having read these before I actually say them out loud. I will. Right. I'll read you a tweet. You have to try to identify whether it's Khloe Kardashian or Snooki. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Why do people keep asking me if I'm drunk tweeting? LOL. Am I that cray cray right now?
Oh wow!
I'm guessing cray cray means crazy.
It's got to be Snooki
in baby
right?
talk or something, right?
I'm gonna say Snooki too, just because she's more widely known to have the alcohol problem. But it does sound stupid enough to be Khloe. But let's go with Snooki.
I'm sorry, it's Khloe Kardashian.
How about that?
Yeah, she's all cray cray.
She's cray cray.
Snooki's on some sort of diet now.
Yeah, she's lost a ton of weight and she works out all the time.
Oh my god, this could be changing her tweets. This is going to throw me off completely.
Yeah. Hey, President Obama, now that Bin Laden's out of the way, how about Snooki? How about the turn your attention inward?
Okay, here's right. another one. Cheaters is a crazy ass TV show. Ugh. That's a whole tweet right there. That's what someone
why would you
felt
tweet
compelled
that?
to share with people.
Timely,
Cheaters
though.
Is a crazy-ass TV show.
Yeah, timely indeed. I'm going to say Snooki again.
I'm going to say Khloe.
Lisa's right. It was Khloe.
I just see her sitting on her butt watching TV.
But she didn't call it cray-cray, though.
That's true.
Okay, how about this one?
All right.
Yes, Terminator is on. One of my favorites.
I'm going to say Khloe just because maybe that's her thing is to tweet about what television shows she's watching.
Yeah,
she has very little else going on.
I'm going with you.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
The Snookster.
I'm 0-3.
Loving the Terminator.
I'm bad, but not as bad as you.
This game makes me miss Psycho Mike, by the way, who had an unparalleled ability to identify tweets from celebrities. I don't know how he did it.
Twitter keeps putting me in Twitter jail. I don't even know what that means.
Twitter jail is when you tweet too many times in an hour, and then they suspend your account for some period of time because
give everyone else a break.
No, because they're trying to in case it's a spam bot or something like that. They try to disable it. I'm going to say Khloe, who it sounds like tweets a lot.
I'm going to go with Snooki.
Khloe's the one who stayed in Twitter jail.
Bean got one right. How about that?
Do they have the death penalty in Twitter jail?
I don't know. I wish.
I would like to see her get that. Satin sheets. Home sweet home.
Khloe.
Yeah, I'll say Chloe too. I don't think
if one thing leads to another. I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki,
it's satin sheets. Seems. I mean, is it trashy enough for Snooki? Are satin sheets trashy now? Is that why she's
into
them?
Old.
Yeah, maybe they're all caked with something.
You know what I'm saying? Or maybe it was just that was at that guy's house that night. She'd never had them before.
Okay. How about this one? No makeup. I don't care. I'm comfy.
I think that's going to be Chloe because I don't think Snooki ever gave any thought to her appearance. I don't think she cares about her appearance. She looks so bad. No. So I'll say Chloe.
I'm going to say Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not going to tell them to get off.
She's a tan queen. She cares about her appearance.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen her without makeup. I think she sleeps in makeup, so I'm surprised that she would ever not have makeup.
It's probably because she's not so fat now.
Yeah.
She was trying to be like, look at this face. Look at my face.
Cover up her fat face.
Yeah.
I think Lea Michele is so hot.
Mm.
I think that was me. I think I tweeted that.
No. This was one of the girls.
Oh, I think Lea Michele is so hot. I'll say Chloe. I've been wrong almost every time, but I don't think that Snooki ever says anything nice about anybody, so I'll say Chloe.
I'm going to say Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just picture her digging chicks a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a good point. Let's make this the last one. Let's see what you can do. I almost went SFS, which is so effing stupid, on someone's ass at the gas station, LOL. Thank God for him I didn't, LOL.
Way Snooki.
Chloe.
How did you know that? How did you know it was Chloe?
Well, I'm guessing him is her husband. And plus, she's just a brute.
Yeah, she is. She's a big, burly brute. You're absolutely right.
I don't know why, but
Chloe, Snooki's the one's known from fisticuffs for mixing up and getting fights.
That's what I thought. I thought it was Snooki was having another fight, and I also thought, and again, I don't follow Chloe, so I don't know this, but I also thought there might be some sort of restraint because of the TV show and the Kardashian empire and the fact that she's married to a Laker, that there's a public relations minefield that she has to navigate.
That's why she said she almost went SFS on someone's ass at a gas station and didn't actually go, because if it wasn't for that TV show, she would have been game on!
Yeah, you're probably right. I am terrible at this game, but Ralph, I think not only you feel dumber having read this, we all feel dumber for having listened to this edition of Celebrity Tweets.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat.
This is the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in today. It is 7:25. You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. Donald Trump, Celebrity Apprentice, highlights coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, is there anything better than that Saturday in June where we all get together in that place known as Irvine for a concert?
No.
There's not.
Something you look forward to every year. We've been waiting a long time for this time of year to get here. We are ready for the announcement. What's up with the Weenie Roast? Hit it, Steve.
K-Rock.
Weenie Roast.
Calling all K-Rock listeners.
Are you ready?
5, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1, 0.
K-Rock Weenie Roast. 2011. Saturday, June 4th. Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Hey, this is Chester from Linkin Park, and we'll see you at the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Linkin Park. The Strokes. Cage the Elephant.
No rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees.
See you at the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Can you hear
Bad Religion.
Welcome to the dark ages.
Here we go again.
Neon Trees.
Day to Remember.
Face to Face.
Foster the People.
Young the Giant.
The Airborne Toxic Event.
Leaky Lee.
You gon' get some.
You just have to see it.
Go!
Now you don't know what you want to give up.
All the other kids.
Summer. Comes here to
play. I enjoy going to the Weenie Room.
That's why she said.
Rise Against.
I don't hate you, but I just want to save you.
Roast 2011. Saturday, June 4th. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Thursday at noon. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. Presented by Farmer John. Taste the local flavor.
USA! USA! USA!
Wait, first we get Osama bin Laden, and now we get to announce the Weenie Roast?
Yeah.
This is like the best week ever. What's up with that? All right, just announced. I know it goes by kind of fast. We're going to play the whole thing again for you in a minute. But here's what I picked out from the announcement that we just heard. The Weenie Roast is happening on Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, our happy home for oh so many years now. Bands performing include a little group named Linkin Park, for starters. Like,
nice.
this is the thing that amazes me. This is the thing that gets me fired up about the Weenie Roast every year. Linkin Park can more than sell out that venue by themselves.
Yep.
They don't need anyone else, but they're just part of an unbelievable lineup. Listen to this. Rise Against, one of the best live bands on any stage anywhere, also playing again this year. The Strokes and their triumphant return to the Weenie Roast on the heels of their very, very strong new Angles album. Bad Religion, the house band of our station. Let's face it, they're going to be there. Cage the Elephant, A Day to Remember, Face to Face. We haven't seen those guys in a while. A band that blew everybody away the last time we saw them play. Neon Trees are unbelievable. The Airborne Toxic Event, one of my favorites of the new bands. I was just listening to their new album that's just out over the weekend. Leaky Lee, who I've never seen. Very excited to see her. Foster the People and Young the Giant. All of that on one bill for one day. Linkin Park, Rise Against, Strokes, Bad Religion, Cage the Elephant, A Day to Remember, Face to Face, Neon Trees, Airborne Toxic Event, Leaky Lee, Foster the People, and Young the Giant. Now, how can you get tickets? Easy. This Thursday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, at noon. Tickets are available online through LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster.com only. In other words, there's no phone, no box office, no outlets, just through LiveNation and Ticketmaster.com. You must be a member of the street team to get the password. By now, you know how that works. So those are all the information. That's all the information that we have. Those are all the details that you need if you want to join us on Saturday, June 4th. Of course, you can get more details at KRock.com. Let's hear it one more time, shall we?
Weenie Roast.
Calling all K-Rock listeners.
Are you ready?
5, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1, 0. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. Saturday, June 4th. Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Hey, this is Chester from Linkin Park, and we'll see you at the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Linkin Park. The Strokes. Cage the Elephant.
No rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees.
See you at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Bad Religion. Neon Trees. Face to Face, Foster the People, Young the Giant, The Airborne Toxic Event, Leaky Lee.
You gon' get some.
You just have to see it.
Go!
Rose 2011, presented by Farmer John. Taste the local flavor.
There they are, Linkin Park, headlining the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011, Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, just announced here on the world-famous K-Rock. Rise Against, Strokes, Bad Religion, Cage the Elephant, A Day to Remember, Face to Face, Neon Trees, The Airborne Toxic Event, Leaky Lee, Foster the People, and Young the Giant rounding out the lineup. Tickets go on sale this Thursday at noon for K-Rock Street Team members. Get all the details at KRock.com. It is 7:39. You are listening to Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money Show on his way in about 20 minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat on the way, too. But first, though, give me a little of that Celebrity Apprentice, would you? I don't know if it's still true. Donald Trump has been saying everywhere all over the country in his speeches that they have the highest rated show on NBC with his Celebrity Apprentice Sunday nights. I'm hoping that Carson Daly kicks his ass in The Voice so that Donald Trump can't say that anymore.
I can't imagine how he won't, honestly.
I can't either. But Donald Trump joins us every Monday as we recap last night's episode, and he's on the phone with us right now. Hey, Donald, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. You had quite a weekend hanging out with President Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, huh?
So sad. So tragic.
What? What was
so
tragic?
So tragic that he's such a petty little man that he had to go out and kill Osama bin Laden just to try to interrupt the Celebrity Apprentice crew last night.
Okay, I don't
so
think
so jealous
that...
of me that he had to try to kill an evil terrorist in order just to get some attention away from Celebrity Apprentice, most amazing episode ever.
Now, I do have some highlights from last night's show, Donald
How
Trump.
How can but... you? We were interrupted by Obama being and we're jealous, petty self.
We're going to get to that. Do you mind if I play a little bit of the remarks that the president had to say about you on Saturday night in Washington? Do you have time for that?
If you have to.
All kidding aside, obviously we all know about your credentials and breadth of experience. No, seriously, just recently, in an episode of Celebrity Apprentice, at the steakhouse, the men's cooking team did not impress the judges from Omaha Steaks. And there was a lot of blame to go around, but you, Mr. Trump, recognized that the real problem was a lack of leadership. And so ultimately, you didn't blame Little John or Meatloaf. You fired Gary Busey. And these are the kind of decisions that would keep me up at night.
So basically what he's doing is mocking you there, right?
He couldn't handle Busey. I'll tell you that much. He can barely handle Biden.
All right, so you did not take that personally. You took it good fun, and fun was had by all, right?
He's just angry because I'm right, because his birth certificate's a fake. And where's the death certificate for Osama bin Laden, by the way?
Well, I
wanted
feeling,
to see the death certificate presented.
I had a feeling you might be asking
the long
that.
Form one. Not the cocktail napkin that he wrote on and says Osama's dead.
Right. They do a lot of paperwork in Pakistan. I'm sure they'll have that right any minute now. All right. Let's talk about last night's episode. The most shocking thing to me is what the challenge had to do with. Donald Trump is famous for just one thing.
Celebrities like looking good. Do we agree?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
And what's the most important part of looking good? In my opinion, hair. Now, I've been abused over the years for my hair. I don't think it's so bad. I have friends that don't have any hair. But hair is very important.
What's, yes, love hair.
But then why does yours look so bad, Donald?
It looks wonderful, first of all. It's golden, it's gorgeous, it's piled high on top of my head.
If you combed it back, would you have any hair?
How dare you, young lady.
I think she makes it a great question.
I don't know who you are, I don't know who your name is, but you are fired.
I thought it was funny that the challenge had to do with hair, though, and you asked them to put on a hair show. Now, this is something the ladies know about that I don't, but it's like a fashion show, except you have stylists that come out, and they do haircuts and stuff like that on stage, right?
Yes, it's all the rage.
That's apparently what's
going
on here.
Ticket on Broadway.
It does sound like you could use some time at a hair show. But anyway, the theme of last night's show is that the ladies' team is in complete disarray because NeNe Leakes from The Real Housewives of Atlanta and Star Jones from Hell, they just don't get along at all. And it was on like Donkey Kong from minute one.
I know how you think. I know how you play the game.
You know what?
And you
not,
are playing with the right
this
one.
This is not the Real
yeah,
Housewives.
Step out the game. You're playing with the right one.
This is not
You're
the Real Housewives.
It doesn't have to be the Real Housewives. Who are you to step in and tell somebody when to be project manager?
I did not
Who
tell you.
Who are
to
you?
Be-
I will take you down while the rest of these girls will look at you and be scared. I'm the girl that's not scared of you. You press the last button at me, Miss Star Jones, and I will do you when the rest of these girls won't. This is your puppet, and I'm not.
Wow.
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 Wow, it is. Wow, indeed.
Jerry.
That was awesome. Now, Mr. Trump, you have frequently said out on the campaign trail that you have a great relationship with the blacks. Why can't you do anything about these two? Why can't you get these two to stop trying to kill each other?
Oh, bitches be crazy.
That is one thing we've learned throughout the years, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Star Jones isn't taking it laying down. You didn't hear her respond much when NeNe was unloading on her, but here's how she sees this whole battle.
This is not the Atlanta Housewives, and I was bound and determined to show America the difference in the way an educated black woman handles stress and the way that someone who is not educated handles stress.
No, she didn't.
Ooh. What a snot.
Snap, no, you're in trouble.
You always say nice things about NeNe and Star Jones.
Yes, do you really wonderful.
Really, you think a lot of them? Because I wouldn't want to go on a car ride with either one of them.
They're both outstanding women, great players. I love them all. They're very nice, nice ladies. And are they listening?
I doubt it. I doubt they are.
They're bitches.
Bitches be crazy. Right, exactly.
Crazy.
So the challenge was to put on a hair show. Of course, the men were at a little bit of a disadvantage, although they did have a good little I got to tell you, John Rich had a great idea, which was to really psychologically damage the winning women by bringing back a member of the women's team who had previously been fired. They brought back supermodel Nikki Taylor to basically be on the stage show. They put on their show with Little John as the MC. The women put on their show with the music and the dancing and the hairs. And I got to tell you, I don't know how this women's team was able to even work together to put their differences aside, because this is what was going on in the private interview with NeNe.
You got LaToya out of here, bitch. If you get me out of here, it won't be before I let Mr. Trump know how dirty and no good you are. You evil, fat lady. You might have lost weight on the outside, but your brain is still very fat, and something's going on the inside.
What does that mean, Donald Trump, that her brain is really fat?
She does have a fat brain.
I don't even know what that means.
She needs the lap band for her head.
Apparently so. Well, it's no surprise with all that going on, but the men do end up winning the challenge, and then in the boardroom, it's only a matter of time before NeNe and Star get into it again. Here's what NeNe had to say.
I respect Star's desire to win as anybody sitting here, but low down, dirty, backstabbing, I do not respect. She's been mean, honey. She's been vicious. She's been trying to be strategic and put players against each other. That is wrong. That's not how you play. That's not being the apprentice to me.
Isn't that exactly how you play Celebrity Apprentice, Donald?
It turns out it is, yes. I think NeNe may be under some sort of misunderstanding about what the apprentice is all about.
I mean, I think the point is you're supposed to go in there and you're supposed to win and you're supposed to do everything you can to make sure the other people on you, even your team, not to mention the other team, don't win, right?
That's right. You do whatever it takes in order to become my apprentice.
NeNe had something to say about Star's backstabbing reputation.
Most people I run into don't like her.
That's pretty tough. I don't know. She's got a good reputation, I think.
Really?
You don't think so? I think she's got a good reputation. That's why she's here. I think you all have great reputations, actually. I'm the only one with a bad reputation.
That got a little bit of a laugh in the boardroom, but what'd you mean by that, Mr. Trump?
I meant that unless you're talking to Joy Behar, no one has a bad thing to say about Star Jones. Well, except for Barbara Walters.
Right.
And everyone she's ever met.
But what about your reputation? What are people saying about you these days as you're really putting yourself out there in the press?
You know, the same old stuff. Too handsome, too qualified to be president, too talented, too smart, too rich.
It's difficult.
Same old bad reputation I've always had.
So we're in the boardroom right now, and you're talking to the remaining ladies on the team. Is it going to be NeNe? Is it going to be Star? Is it going to be Hope? Marley apparently above the fray this time around, and here's what happened on NBC last night.
Star, let me ask you this question. Who going forward do you want on your team? Because you're facing a very tough men's team plus LaToya.
I definitely...
What? This is an NBC News special report.
What happened to your 13 minutes with your show to go? What happened?
Son of a bitch, Obama. He's so jealous of me. He's jealous of my hair and of my skills, and he knows he's going to lose to me in 2012.
Oh, that's right. Good timing.
Fantastic timing right at the end of your
show. Oh, I killed Osama bin Laden. No, don't watch the rest of The Apprentice. I'll forget about this.
What the best part was is it's not like the president was walking up to the podium when they broke in. They basically just broke into your show so they could chit-chat for about 20 minutes before he showed up.
I know, and we didn't find out who got voted off.
Well, I could tell you if you want, but you might already remember.
No, tell me. I don't remember.
It was Hope, actually.
What?
You let Hope go. You let Hope go.
Why would I let the Playmate of the Year go?
I'm asking the same question, except that you can't wait to see NeNe and Star fight again next week. But don't send the hot chick home, right?
I blame Obama.
I know. I'm sure that you do. Thanks, Donald. This is the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. And who's your sidekick? Who's your vice president here? What's
Matt
going on?
Matt Buddy Smith. Hey,
Matt Buddy Smith.
Yeah, let's get some pro-American showbiz report going.
USA! 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 USA!
Can't from believe we could drag money away from his celebratory dancing in the streets with
that's
the flag
right.
to get him in here in the studio.
I had to take a private back from the district this morning.
we're going to talk to you, Money, about that and everything going on in
really?
The world of sports coming up after the top of the hour. Yeah, absolutely. I'm dying to hear your take on what happened last night. It's big, big news. First, though, Ralph's going to fill us in on what's going on in Hollywood.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Fast Five was number one. And it wasn't just number one. It was number one!
Yeah!
Biggest April opening for a movie ever. Ever.
USA! USA! USA!
Fast Five starred, of course, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Vin Diesel, and Paul Walker. The latest installment in the Fast and the Furious movies made $83.6 million.
How many times
could lightning have gone? That's all I had to raise that kind of money.
I like fast cars.
I like cars and wheels and fast and furious and big angry.
Explosions and guns.
This won't surprise anyone that I've never seen any of these movies. It's too bad Kevin is out today because he was really looking forward to this movie, as apparently a lot of people were. But don't they go down? Isn't this the one where they go down to South America and they kick some ass down
Brazil,
there?
Brazil, yes.
That's where they go to Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Brazil?
So the USA wins again. They're after him.
It's the same movie, just a different location every time.
Yeah.
It's been Tokyo, and they've done it in the Southwest, and Mexico, and now Brazil.
It's hard to argue with that kind of success, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
It's really not.
It is. No, it's hard to argue. If you're in the movie-making business, and you want to make money, this sounds like the way to go.
You know, they should follow the Leprechaun plan, where they go to space next.
Oh, that'd be good.
And then they go to the hood, and then they go back to the hood.
That's right. Rio was the second... big moneymaker at the box office this weekend, $14.4 million to show you what a drop-off between one and two. Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family made only $10 million. Sounds like it's time to put Madea in a fast car, if you ask me. Put her behind the wheel like an old-school vet or something and just soup up the end. You get her some of that nitrous and just watch her take off.
Little Impala action, yeah?
Hallelujah! Just hauling ass. Water for Elephants was fourth, and Prom, the new film from Disney, came in at number five. What was the groan for Prom?
You know, the kids wanted to go to Prom.
I figured they
and
did.
I just
Your
said,
little girls probably were dying to see
this
Prom.
This is exploitation. This is freaking Disney exploitation of fathers that are supposed to spend quality time with their daughters and have to sit through that schlock.
Did you go?
No.
Oh. Well, you're not a good father then.
I'm not. I'm a terrible father.
Hoodwinked 2.
Oof.
Hood versus Evil was sixth at the box office. Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hop, and Source Code rounding out your top 10 at the box office. This weekend. Congratulations to Mariah Carey and her husband Nick Cannon. They had twins over the weekend, a girl and a boy. Identical twins, oddly enough. The girl and a boy, they're identical. We have no idea how that worked out.
That is weird.
The names have not been disclosed, but Mariah and Nick said they wanted something unique but not wacky. I think Man Cannon was one of the suggestions. I'm suggesting they will get half of that wish. Something unique but not wacky. I'm guessing wacky will rule
the day.
Think
about how much Mariah Carey is Hey, Look at Me. And this is an opportunity for her to come up with names that have never been used before.
Right. Yes.
Flamp and Crunk.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't.
If you're like me, you are panic stricken. This Sunday, May the 8th, not only Mother's Day, but it is the beginning of auditions for X Factor, the new Simon Cowell's talent competition show. They don't have all their judges in place. What's going to happen on Sunday if they don't have all four judges in place?
World to come to an end.
You got Simon Cowell and L.A. Reid. They are locked in, but there's still two seats open. And Entertainment Weekly says it could be Corbin Blue from High School Musical and Pussycat Dolls Nicole Scherzinger. Or it could be Cheryl Cole.
Ooh. Oh, that's Mariah Carey's new kid's name. Cole.
Cheryl Cole from the British version and Paula Abdul. Oh. So those four people could be vying for the two seats. I just don't know how I'm going to sleep until I find out.
I can't wait
on.
For this show to come on.
Oh,
what are you going to do until then?
Watch the
but
voice.
Ralph I seem to recall that American Idol had started their auditions before they had judges in place because they didn't need the judges for the very early parts when the 20,000 people show up.
I can't take that risk.
Did they?
Can't take that chance.
Did they get Dunkelman for the Ryan Seacrest role?
I think they did pull in Dunkelman, finally.
We don't know who the host is going to be yet either, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Dunkelman.
It's got to be Dunkelman.
It's got to be.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Go Team Dunkelman. Today's celebrity birthday is Christine Baranski from The Good Wife. She is 59 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Speaking of his success in Fast Five, his next project is going to be the biopic about country western singer Charlie Pride.
Black Charlie Pride?
Black Charlie Pride.
That was my
yeah.
question.
Lisa,
he's not black enough to play Charlie Pride, right?
Black.
Well, I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen Charlie Pride.
Yeah, that's because no one cares about Charlie Pride.
Or a photo of Charlie Pride.
Maybe people
but
will forget.
I mean,
apparently The Rock is feeling so guilty about making so much movie with Fast Five. His next movie, he's guaranteed to make a flop.
Why would anyone want to participate in such a thing?
I don't know.
I would think the guy that played like Benson in Soap would play Charlie Pride.
Robert Guillaume.
Yeah, Robert
yeah
Guillaume.
There you go. Yeah.
Like, not Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Look, if he wasn't dead,
only. For it again.
David Beckham's 36 years old today. Actress Jenna Von Oy. She was on Blossom. She was six on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Not literally 6 years old. Her name was six on that show.
Is she Bellworthy? I'm not familiar
she's
with
her. Yep. She was a little
hot. Oh, is she? Okay.
34. And Ellie Kemper plays Erin, the receptionist on The Office. Took over for Pam in that position. She's adorable. She's 31. Lily Allen, speaking of adorable, singer-songwriter, she is 26. No bell for Lily Allen?
Yeah, come on, man.
Well, we discussed it earlier, Ralph. You weren't in the room.
Beer mug
raised the objection, saying she needed a bell. Alex and I countered with, yeah, but have you seen her lately? She's looking awfully beat up, man. The drugs have taken their toll. She's not the cute little pixie she was when we met her 5 years ago. What do you guys think?
Well, when they're on the drugs, they tend to experiment more in the sack.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd give her extra
not
bell
sure
for that.
Yeah,
they get a lot
that's
of balloon knot.
Have you seen any pictures of her looking hot lately, by the way, Ralph?
I haven't seen any pictures of her period lately. I just know that she was hot.
Yep.
She was at one time, yes.
How about a bell?
How about a bell is what we're saying.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's not a bell. No. Gusto.
Did he pull it away from the microphone?
Bell? Yes.
He did, yes. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hey, party people. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us later this hour. Right now, Matt Money Smith from the nationally syndicated Petrus and Money Show. And proud and real American.
That's
joining
right.
us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know how I know I'm a proud and real American?
Tell me.
Because I buy my automobiles from Galpin Ford right up the 405 at Roscoe Boulevard.
Actually, Money, thank you. We're not
the number
we're not
one volume Ford dealer in the world for 21 consecutive years. That's how I know I'm a real American.
We're not actually doing that commercial here right now. But you were special ops. You were Navy SEAL. You had all those jobs.
No,
tell me about
not so much.
Oh, no?
Not
that
so
was
much.
The resume we went off of when we hired you to do sports for us all those years ago.
No, just a giant D-bag from the Midwest that moved to the West Coast.
Tell me where you were last night, because a lot of what people are talking about, beyond the obvious, which is, hey, isn't that awesome? Osama bin Laden is finally dead. A lot of people were talking about how social media really scooped the world, because it was all over Twitter and all over Facebook 30 minutes before it was all over the networks.
Yeah, this is going to be a really strange story. I was at dinner with my family, and Pat O'Brien texted me to say, did you hear there's a giant news conference? And this is, you know, Sunday at 7 o'clock our time, so 10 o'clock in the district. And I was like, that's got to be something big. And he was my guy. I mean, it was like I had a pipeline into the old CBS newsroom when Pat was there.
Now, let me stop you right there.
He was feeding me all the info.
Because it was a text from Pat, did he say, Money, I'm sitting here with Tom Cruise right now. We wanted you to know.
Pat just delivered the break. I mean, I had it before anyone. I was actually at I was at a place where I asked them to change the channel from sports to the news, and they really pushed back. And I said, no, trust me on this. There's a big announcement's going to come out. So, yeah, you're right. It was social media. And wasn't it TMZ that, I know you're going to talk to Harvey, but I want to say TMZ had details before anyone else was willing to put them out there. It was kind of like speculation from CBS and NBC, and TMZ posted that Osama bin Laden was killed in a firefight and was shot in the head. Like they were the first first outlet to have that sort of information.
Yeah, we will ask Harvey about that, but
that's
it was
crazy.
It was interesting because you know, there were other people involved outside of the president's inner circle who had access to this information, and word did start to spread. I mean, it's tough to keep, although I was going to say it's tough to keep a lid on news like that, but they had known for several hours, maybe a day, that it had happened, and it hadn't gotten out until just minutes before the president went on TV. So it is possible to keep something like that a secret, but it's got to be pretty hard once somebody knows to not running up and down shouting it from the rooftops.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I assume I didn't get to see a lot of the coverage leading up to the statement. The reason why it just kept getting pushed back was, you know, obviously for international purposes, is that you get to figure the world is going to digest this statement, so you want to make sure it's as sterile and perfect as possible.
Right. And the right. president's making phone calls. He called George W. Bush. Yeah. He called Bill Clinton. He called the president of Pakistan. I think he may have called Britain. I mean, he definitely wanted people to hear it from him rather than hear it, you know, on the TV. But how would you like to be? I mean, look, all guys imagine that they're the one who get to put the bullet in Osama bin Laden's head. I mean,
the trigger
that's
man.
Like, be the trigger man. Imagine what it's like being in those helicopters in that town in Pakistan. And we were asking earlier, I don't know, maybe you do. Did they lower him down from a ladder from the helicopter, or did they parachute out, or did the helicopter land?
My understanding is they did the rope. The helicopter did not land. You know what? I don't know what it's called. It's not rappelling. It's a different term they use. That they drop in, and yeah, I think it was like what they said. It was about a 40-minute firefight. But yep. that's beginning to, and I guess they say that that's a kind of a vague term, firefight. That's, you know, you don't know if there's just an exchange of fire, you know, reaching around the corner of the wall, bap, 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 back and, you know, back and forth. But, you know, my understanding is they rappelled in or whatever that term is. And this is the elite of the elite, the Navy SEAL 6. Is, you know, obviously SEALs are about as good as it gets when it comes to military and special ops, but the particular department, the particular unit, the six, is even the elite of that elite. So these right. are guys that are probably used to these sort of situations.
These are the Jason Bournes in the force.
Precisely.
By the way, it has been pointed out many times that Charlie Sheen was the head Navy SEAL in that Navy SEALs movie, and maybe somehow he's winning today.
I'm sure he'll probably figure out a way to take credit for that. Yes.
And they say that they gave Osama bin Laden the opportunity to turn himself in or to go peacefully, and he, of course, refused, and that at some point a guy gets close enough to him to shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
And we may never know who that guy is, or we may not know for some time who that guy is for security reasons for him and his family.
I envisioned a Scarface-like moment where, you know, Osama is standing upstairs in an office with like an ornate desk, just a mountain of coke, and he buries his face into it and just comes storming through double doors with double AKs as he takes a rain of bullets and falls to the ground bloodied.
There are some pictures today that are apparently official. I saw them on the ABC News website of the room where Osama bin Laden was killed, and you see the band, you see a giant patch of blood on the floor.
Well, there it is.
And that much has been released. There has been a photo that has been circulating that purports to be Osama bin Laden's dead body. That, at least the photo that was out last night, that has been ruled a fake. That is apparently a picture that's been going on for some time. So I don't know whether there's going to be a picture or not, although we have heard from our listeners who say, oh, the body was buried at sea. How convenient that now it'll never be proved. There are people who are already being conspiracy theorists on this, Matt, who are saying that either he's been dead for some time and this is just a publicity stunt, or this is to help Obama win re-election.
Well, the sad thing is that's now going to take away from what really should have our attention, and that is that long-form birth certificate President Obama, there's just a lot of things wrong with that, and I'm not comfortable letting that go yet.
Have you seen the T-shirt that's already out that says, it's a picture of Obama on the front. It says, so sorry I took so long to get you that copy of my birth certificate. I was busy killing Osama bin Laden.
See?
I love that.
Other priorities.
And by the way, talk about a weekend for the president. He almost killed Gaddafi this weekend.
Yeah.
They bombed Gaddafi in Libya and took out, I guess, his son and a couple of grandkids.
Yes.
But did not get Gaddafi. That would have been a 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
And his Chicago Bulls are still alive in the NBA playoffs.
And the Bulls are still alive. Right. So it's nothing but good news.
Good weekend.
Speaking of sports,
yes.
We don't have much time in this segment. We'll come back and talk more. But, I mean, there's something going on in all the major sports right now. Obviously, what's going on with the NFL with the lockout and the draft, that both happened in this last couple of days. Stanley Cup playoffs into the second round. NBA playoffs into the second round. Some unbelievable stuff going on in baseball. I mean, a really huge, almost impossible to keep up with all the sports. I always wonder how you seem to know everything that's going on. How many different sports can you watch at one time,
man? I lie about everything and just make sure my delivery is convincing. That way no one can question what I'm saying. You know what? Actually, before we break, there was a real cool moment, if people didn't see it, in the Phillies-Mets game last night. It was broadcast nationally, and in right field, as you said, social media was kind of the venue that broke the story that Osama bin Laden had killed. They started chanting USA, and the rest of the stadium in Philly was a little confused as to what was going on, and then left field caught on, and before you know it, the whole stadium, without them having broadcast that news over the PA or on the Jumbotron, began chanting that, and the players had to figure it out when they went back to the dugout. That in fact that's what was happening, and then they still played two or three more innings after that.
Yeah, it was like a 14 inning game or something, right?
It ended up being an extra inning game. And you know,
but wasn't it fun that the Mets from New York are the ones who won that game?
The fact that the Mets were there, that a New York team, and you know, a team that was a big part of I don't want to say the rescue effort, but just kind of the days that followed 9/11. Remember, they used Shea Stadium parking lot to distribute aid and help, you know, and food and everything. So it was kind of nice to see that.
And it was also interesting, the reports from people who the news broke while they were in the air. I guess on some planes, they actually came over and spoke to the passengers and told them about it, and celebrations broke out. On other planes, people got it as they were landing. People were, you know, bringing out their phones before the plane had gotten to the airport or you know, up to where they could unload. And they'd gotten the news and they started spreading the word around. The pilot didn't come on, but they started spreading the word passenger to passenger. But it's just interesting. It is one of those things that people say you'll always remember where you were when ...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to know, like, where was the giant frat sorority party in Washington, D.C. that let out and let all those kids flood Pennsylvania Avenue? I don't know if it was just a bunch of D-bag dudes and, like, hot chicks that were chanting USA at the gates there. It was
like
really
3,000 people ended up out in front of the last time I saw it was about 3,000 people were there. It was crazy, right?
Yeah, they were all college-age kids. I remember they focused I think I was watching an NBC or CBS or one of them. They focused on this African-American dude who just started singing, na, 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 and he's dancing in the camera. I'm like, okay, look, if this is a cable news network, fine. This is the national feed for CBS, and this guy, na, 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 and he's shaking his ass.
Yeah. Goodbye.
It's like, really, this is our coverage?
And then there was the guy holding up the big sign that said Obama 1, Osama 0. Did you see him in the crowd there, too? It was pretty funny. But, I mean, people were just – I mean, part of it was just, hey, it's a social media driving, hey, let's all get together and party. I mean, some of it was just it's fun. But there was joy and jubilation and, for some people, a tiny sense of closure, even though the battle is far from won. People are like, hey, he did that to us, but at least we did that to them, and that makes us feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I think I don't want to say surreal. It was just interesting, you know, all the coverage, because you don't really know how to feel. You're celebrating someone's death, even someone as awful as that, you know, one of the worst human beings on the face of the earth, considering what, you know, he helped put on us back in 9/11, 2001. And, you know, that's something that happened while we were sitting here, not in this studio, but our old studio, and Ralph and Doc. And as that information's coming in, you're trying to process it all. So it is sort of that sense of closure, I guess, that you know, with the 10th anniversary coming up a few months from now, that the guy that you said you had to go get was finally got. You know, I guess that's kind of what they always. Hey, look, I watch Boys in the Hood and movies like that, and you know, they say you always get got. Somebody always gets got.
I saw the Osama bin Gotten T-shirt too. By the way, that's already out there. All right, Matt Money Smith is here from the PNM Show. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Yep, Bad Religion on the bill. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011 is happening Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, Lincoln Park. Rise Against the Strokes, Bad Religion again, Cage the Elephant, A Day to Remember, Face to Face, Neon Trees, Airborne Toxic Event, Leaky Lee, Foster the People, and Young the Giant. Tickets go on sale for K-Rock Street Team members only this Thursday at noon. Get all the information you need and make sure you're a Street Team member at krock.com. It is 8:27. You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Our friend Matt Money Smith is in studio from the Petros and Money Show. It's hard to change topics and go from something as important as the death of Osama bin Laden back to sports. But there's a lot going on. This is a crazy time of year where there's news in every single major sport right now, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, postseason for hockey and basketball. The NFL draft happened this past weekend, and especially in a year where there's a lockout. And for people that don't know what that means, right? Currently, we have no football plan for September when that rolls around, NFL football. And then, of course, you have baseball, which has been underway now for a little bit over a month. So, yeah, it is like the busy season for sports. And then come, you know, mid-June when the hockey playoffs end and the basketball playoffs end and there's no football, you're talking about baseball and baseball only. And they get all the attention for about 30 days, you know, before the preseason starts.
Let's hit some of the highlights. We had Rich Eisen on the phone. You know, he was anchoring the NFL Network. Coverage of the draft. We talked to him last week, and he was saying how odd it was, not just because of the lockout, but just because of the new rules that were in effect for this year, because you weren't allowed to do any deals beyond drafting undrafted players, right? That's all you could do at the draft this year.
That's it. And, you know, there's an opportunity, I think, for the players to really capitalize on what's happening with the lockout to get the fan sentiment on their side, because, you know, they got the lockout lifted from a judge in Minnesota. Florida, so they got to report to their team facilities on Friday, get a playbook. They're all saying how they want to work and get back to work and hang out with their teammates and get ready for the season. But the NFL took their business down to a court in St. Louis and got the lockout reinstated. So today is a day when normally you would have guys like Tony Romo is the biggest name that's being thrown around, signed by a team. Guys that didn't get drafted. And there's one particular story that is as compelling as anything in football that you're going to hear a lot about. And it's a kid by the name of Mark Herzlich out of Boston College, who's a cancer survivor, who was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year and probably a first-round draft pick before he was diagnosed with this very rare form of cancer that really, you know, knocked him out. And he was out for a year, came back last year, played very well, but there's still some concerns that it could return. You know, he's been declared cancer free right now, but there's concerns, and he wasn't drafted. So this is the kind of kid that would find his NFL team today, because there's no question someone would take a chance on him as an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. But guys like that aren't going to have a job until this lockout is either lifted or a new collective bargaining agreement is agreed to. And that's going to cause the owners more headaches, because it certainly seems like the fans are holding it against them. Yes. That they want too big a chunk, even though both sides are really to blame in this whole thing.
When do you think it will be resolved, Money?
Not till players start losing money, which leads me to say, yeah, I mean, I just can't say, unless the only here's what could happen is, you know, they haven't ruled that the lockout will stay. The eighth court of appeals that did this in St. Louis, they've just granted a stay while they pore over this 89-page ruling from a judge in Minnesota to see whether or not they want to overturn it on appeal, or if they want to say, no, it's good, lift the lockout. Because if they do that, then we're just back to where we were last year. You know, they will operate under the same rules as last season. Free agents can be signed. Guys can go back to work. Coaches can hand out playbooks and all as well. So probably by the end of this week, we'll know if we're totally screwed and not going to have football for a little while, or if all is well.
And they do have a little room to play with the schedule in terms of they could eliminate bye weeks or eliminate that extra week before the Super Bowl. I mean, they can buy a couple of weeks time anyway without losing games.
Well,
right?
You could see that. You know, they released what the schedule is going to look like, and there's not a lot of division games in those first couple weeks. It's mostly teams that aren't playing within their division, which you can see the NFL, you know, the front office and the owners are saying, yeah, we'll cover our ass a little bit here just in case it dips 2 weeks into the season.
Let's talk a little NBA basketball while we have you here. Matt Money Smith from the PNM Show. Couple of things that I've noticed. First of all, Memphis has a basketball team now.
Yeah. You know, it's a team that I liked from the start. And it pointed out that the Lakers certainly wanted no piece of them in the first round. It is one of the more talented unknown teams. They have everything, a good point guard, a great power forward in Zach Randolph, who's just crazy and looks like an old blues singer who's missing an eye or something. But he's a great player. And I thought they were going to beat the Spurs. I actually said, you know, on the show, hey, look, they're not only going to compete, they're going to win that series. It's a terrible matchup for San Antonio. And then I went on to say that Oklahoma City wants no part of them, that it's a bad matchup for the Thunder as well. And you know what? It's a bad matchup for the Lakers. Memphis, just for certain teams, has a great front line. And that's Marc Gasol, Pau's brother, who's just as tall, but only about, you know, 20 pounds heavier. Not as skilled. He's more of a brute. And then they have a big power forward in Zach Randolph that can score on the block. And when you have
that guy's
those two,
amazing.
He really is. I mean, he makes shots that look like they have absolutely no business of being attempted, let alone going in. And that's going to be a tough series for Oklahoma City. I would not be surprised to see the Lakers and the Grizzlies in the conference finals.
And you know what? The thing is we talk about this all the time in the you know, the NCAA tournament, is momentum is such a big part of it. And Memphis was riding so high after taking, you know, the number one seeded Spurs. And then less than 24 hours later, they're playing in Oklahoma and beating them. I mean, they're just on fire right now.
And, you know, then you have the Lakers and Mavericks, two teams that do not like each other. And a lot of that is really from the top as opposed to the players on the court. Mark Cuban has regularly gone after Phil Jackson. And we know Phil does not like to hold his tongue when it comes to having some fun in the media. And he's dished it right back. So these are two guys that I don't think like each other. I you know, you can say it's all in fun, but I really don't think they like one another. I don't think Phil likes an owner sitting behind the bench, breathing down his coach's neck as much as Cuban thinks that Phil's been blessed with great talent and isn't as great as everybody thinks he is.
On the other side of the country, at the beginning of the season, we were all predicting that at some point the Celtics and the Heat were going to have to go at it each other to find out who is going to be representing the East. The Celtics did not play very well last night, but that Paul Pierce ejection really got Celtics fans fired up. Was it bogus? Was it BS?
Yes and no. You know, I mean, I understand what Dan Crawford's saying, and in that, you know, look, the guy used an expletive, and it was loud, and that's part of the rule of getting a T. You know, if you're pissed, then you know, maintain your composure and have a conversation with me. And Paul didn't do that. It wouldn't have made a difference.
I think he's gonna lose that one anyway.
You know what? The Heat are gonna. I'm the only one that I think feels this way. The guys that we've brought on the show on Petros and Money, they have said they think this is a 7-game series, and the Celtics could come out of it. I think the Heat win this thing in a rout. I really do. And they're just so athletic and so hard to contend with at those three positions with Bosch, James, and Wade. And defensively, those guys can keep up with Pierce and Garnett and Allen and neutralize them. And the Heat are scary. You know, people want to write them off because of the way they conducted that business this offseason with the decision, and they don't like LeBron. And that's fine, especially here in L.A. because of all the who's the best player in the league, Kobe or LeBron. But they're really good, and I think they're going to end up in the finals. And that's a bad matchup for the Lakers.
Have people forgiven LeBron yet? Are they ready to root for him yet or no?
No, I don't think so. But you know what? I think once you get into the playoffs, especially with this series against the Celtics, and you remember how freaking good that guy is and just how stupid it is that someone that's that big is that fast and that athletic, then you start to realize this is without question the best talent in the NBA, and it's not even close.
Do you predict a Los Angeles-Miami Finals?
I do. Yeah, I think it'll end up being Lakers-Heat, and I think that's a bad matchup for the Lakers.
But what a great matchup for basketball fans.
It'll be unbelievable.
I mean, that's the series we all want to see, right?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question. You want to see, you know, look, basketball is all about the individual as opposed to other sports, you know, where it is more team-oriented. And when you have probably the two biggest individual talents, especially in terms of you know, kind of curating or world recognition in Kobe and LeBron, and the fact they can go head-to-head, that it's as good as it gets. You know, it's better than the tradition of Lakers-Celtics, no question.
I wish we had more time, Matt. It's always great to talk sports with you, man. We miss you. Come back to the Kevin and Bean Show, would you?
Anytime. Anytime. Happy to do it.
Check your local listings. Petros and Money on the radio. We'll return an update from TMZ.com. That song, by the way, is not called the prostitution song, as many have been asking. It is called Get Some from Leaky Lee on the world-famous K-Rock. Leaky Lee, part of the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. Get all the details at K-Rock.com. It is 8:43. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow, what if I were to tell you 2/3 of the Beastie Boys are going to be here on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show? How about that? I believe Mike D and King Ad-Rock are going to be joining us. The new Beasties album comes out tomorrow. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Rob's got the showbiz beat in minutes. Right now, our friend Dax from the TMZ Newsroom joins us. TMZ.com, and check your local listings for TMZ television. It's on 7 times a day in some cities, which is too much Dax, if you want my opinion.
It is ridiculous, you guys. Every time I turn on Fox, I'm like, oh, really? Again?
I know. Well, you're popular. What can I say? Hey, real quick, and I thought we'd have Harvey, Dax, but you would know the answer to this. I've been hearing, seeing more and more on the site ramping up about the TMZ tour that you can take of town. Is that started already? Is that up and running?
It hasn't started yet. It's going to start soon, but it's going to be awesome because I've been working on this tour with Harvey for, I don't know, months and months now, and it just seems like it's going to be really fun. It's like the Starline Tour. We're teaming up with them, and it's going to go all around L.A., show off the, like, fun spots that people have always seen in our videos, you know, like where Paris was calling Lindsay Lohan a fire crotch walking down the street with Brandon Davis.
That's right.
Like everything, where Paris Hilton got arrested, or you know, where Lindsay got in a car accident. Like
it's so crazy. I mean, this is part of why TMZ is one of the most visited websites in the world. People are so obsessed with celebrities that people would pay to get in a bus and drive past a place where somebody was arrested.
But you'd be surprised. It's actually really fun. I was thinking when we first started, I'm like, oh, come on. Who the heck is going to want to do this? And then I was watching all the videos and stuff, and it's going to be entertaining. And we actually talk all kinds of stuff about facts that people would never know about and little tidbits here and there.
Look, you guys know what you're doing. I'm sure you can do a great job. In fact, we were talking about it off the air. We totally want to do a Kevin and Bean ride-along so we can see the tour and talk about it. It'd be fun.
I'm sure that we can get you guys on one of the tour buses.
Can accommodate us.
If we give you our $20, you can accommodate us. All right, let's TMZ.com, along with every other website that is about current events, is all about Osama bin Laden today. That obviously is the biggest story in the world, and you had kind of your own angle on it. Tell me about the poll that you put up about what the president was doing after his speech last night, Dex.
Of course, I get the one that looks like I made this poll up or something. But we basically said, you know, his little swagger, how he walked off from the microphone in the stand last night after announcing that Osama was gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He did that little swagger like, I'm going to go get some right now. And come on, you got to realize Michelle would totally, you know, I think give it up for that. And we just put up a poll that said victory sex, yes or no. And the poll results right now are saying 78% of people are saying yes, they went and got it on.
But how could you not want to sleep with the man who ordered the raid that got Osama bin Laden killed? Right? I mean,
exactly,
he deserves some
right.
sex at this point. I don't care how frosty things might have been at home before last night. Give the man some last night.
Half the girls in the room in here were like, I would have done it too. I mean, this is huge news.
We were talking earlier about the team that went into that mansion in Pakistan to take out Osama bin Laden. I don't know whether those names will ever be released. What are you hearing about any kind of information at all about the members of that team and, you know, especially the person who pulled the trigger? Do you think we'll ever see that information, Dex?
I don't think so, because I think that would be putting their lives at risk. I think that they would be huge targets then if they were blasted all over the news, their faces, their names. That's
right.
Who Al-Qaeda would come after. So, you know, I've seen on the news all this morning that terrorists, you know, might be planning some revenge or something like that. So we're kind of on high alert right now. But definitely, I don't think it would be smart to put out their faces and names.
What about the reward? Have you heard anything about whether somebody is going to get that $25 million reward that was offered from the U.S. government?
I doubt it.
If you have any, information that leads us to Osama bin Laden?
Well, I think it's ourselves that found him and, you know, our intelligence agencies. So unless we want to pay ourselves, we can't really afford it right now. Our government's already broke.
I'm so fascinated with the whole way that this thing went down. Not only the specifics of the mission itself, but how they kind of got the information together that led them to that town, led them to that house.
No.
And I just wonder if there was some Al-Qaeda guy somewhere who said, hey, I know something and it's worth dropping a dime to get a shot at $25 million.
I think the best part is that Obama went golfing yesterday.
He knew
the information, and he's like, I'm still going golfing.
Yep.
I love that. And we did a whole like a debate in the newsroom whether he knew or the reason that he actually went golfing. Was it just so that he would throw everyone off? Because if he wasn't golfing on his normal scheduled golf, everyone would start raising some questions. And so
right.
Was it just to throw everyone off?
Are you doing much with the celebrities and what they have to say about the Osama bin Laden news? I saw you had Rachel Uchitel. You talked to her last night.
Well, the interesting thing about her is her husband, or I think maybe fiance, was killed in the 9/11 attacks. He was in the South Tower, and this is before anyone knew her name, and she was ecstatic this morning. She, you know, just said so many good things about the government, and she finally felt at peace inside because no one had ever been killed or, you know, no one had found Osama until now.
Yeah, you do. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, too. You do kind of feel like there's a tiny bit of closure. The war is not over yet, but at least somebody had to pay for what they did to you or your family, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, well,
very cool day today.
It really is. It's a very cool day, and you ought to pick yourself up one of these newfangled newspapers, I think they're called, and save that. It'll be a collector's item one day with Osama bin Laden's big old face. By the way, you ought to do a roundup of the headlines, especially the New York paper stacks. This is my tip to you for the site, because Rot in Hell is the New York Daily, the Post, I think. And we got the rat bastard, I think, is what they said on the Daily News. And I think those would be very funny for your readers to see at TMZ.
All right. I will go grab those.
TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Dax, thanks for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Beginning May 27th, travel back in time to life on the sea at the Maritime Museum of San Diego's newest exhibit, Three Voyages to Paradise, Cook, Melville, and Gauguin. Learn more at sandiego.org/choosehappy. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
What kind of maritime museum is it if they have nothing from the Edmund Fitzgerald, Lisa? I mean, seriously.
It struggles.
Come on.
They have Gauguin.
They have Gauguin.
Gauguin.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:55. Thanks for checking in on the Kevin and Bean Show. Post Osama bin Laden, George writes in, hey, this is nothing but a publicity stunt to gain votes for Obama for his next election. The body was dumped in the ocean. The evidence is lost.
Yep.
And has now staged some pictures in order to give the public some quote of evidence.
No body, no peace.
If they had real pictures right now, everyone would be saying they were real.
Liars.
They're as real as the president's birth certificate, Lisa. Come on, don't be duped. Anyway, we're going to talk to conspiracy theorists in the Kevin and Bean audience coming up next. People who do not believe the story as it is being told to us by our lying, cheating government. That's coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What's happening?
Oh, buried at sea. How convenient. Oh, magic bullet. Oh, grassy knoll. I've been through this before. I'm going to Canada to vote. Voting day up in Canada today. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got to vote. Get out there. All of our Canadian listeners, get out there and vote today.
Okay.
All right.
Do we have any Canadian listeners?
We actually do hear from some of our Canadian friends who listen to the podcast or stream us, yeah.
Oh, well, then I'd like to start my showbiz beat in a different way this morning than I usually do.
Okay.
Oh, Canada, my home and faithful land.
Ralph's been watching too much of the hockey playoffs.
It's love in all your sons command.
Not necessary to sing the whole thing. That's all right, Ralph.
I love O Canada.
Just do some Bieber news or something. That'll make him happy.
O Canada, we stand on guard.
Okay, that's fine. And now, here's Ralph with the showbiz beat.
You don't get it, man. All right, you want some Bieber news? I got some Bieber news, eh? Justin Bieber was in Sydney, Australia on Friday when he stepped out on stage to perform his concert, and he promptly became pelted with eggs.
What?
6 eggs came flying out of the crowd, just missing their mark. Come on, Sydney.
What's that
about? Have a little time in the cages before you go to the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A little practice. A little target practice.
Oh, come on.
You don't get your chance to egg Bieber and then miss.
Why would you want to throw eggs at Bieber?
Oh, there's nothing I'd rather do. I can't think of anything I'd rather do except maybe get a paint gun and just light him up with
but
a paint
gun. But why go to a Bieber concert if once you're there, now you start throwing eggs at the man you paid
to
see?
To a Bieber concert. That would be the only reason to go.
I would pay
double the ticket price if I could hit him with an egg.
I don't approve.
How can you not approve? It's awesome.
Don't throw eggs at Justin.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Could you be any lighter in the loafers than you are?
Don't throw eggs at Justin.
I'm a believer. I can't stop.
Oh, I'm going to egg you next time I see you. This tour continues with 4 more dates in Australia, including Melbourne tonight and tomorrow. Then it moves on to Manila, Osaka, and Tokyo. Well, at least he'll get some radiation. it's always an upside to every story, I like to think.
Started pulling his pants down, started defecating.
No, he didn't do that either. That's not true.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Fast 5, the 5th in the Fast and the Furious series, made $83.6 million.
You mean 38.6. That's a typo,
no, it's
right?
$83.6 million. In one weekend.
That's
best
stunning.
April opening ever for a motion picture.
Dude.
Oh, it's a good day for, like, car porn.
Yeah.
Rio was second with just $14.4 million. The rest of the top 5 were Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family, Water for Elephants and Prom, and then Hoodwinked, Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hop, and Source Code rounded out the top 10. And Jennifer Aniston and her BFF Chelsea Handler are going away on vacation, according to Star Magazine. But the sad news is they're going to have to leave their sweet, precious pets at home. Chelsea has a shepherd chow mix called Chunk. And apparently Chunk charged at Jen's corgi, Norman. And they don't get along at all. So now the two girls have to leave their pets behind when they go on vacation together. And I tell Jennifer Aniston all the time, this is what happens when you travel with a dog. And, you know, next time bring Chunk and leave Chelsea Handler at home. That's what I'm trying to say. Because she's the dog in
sure.
that story.
Got that. You're a big Chelsea Handler fan, I understand.
I can't tell you what she is. Not on this show.
I've heard it on the podcast. I know what she
on my podcast what she is, but I can't.
And there's a little song that goes along with that, isn't there?
There is, yes. It's called the See You Next Tuesday song.
Right.
Everyone will listen. Today's celebrity birthday is Christine Baranski's 59 years old today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson not only celebrates having the number one movie in America, but his 39th birthday today. David Beckham is 36. Jenna Von Oy, she was on Blossom. She's 6 on that show. 34 years old. Ellie Kemper, Erin from The Office, is 31. And Lily Allen celebrates her 26th birthday today. I could send you 400 pictures of Lily Allen where you would absolutely say, oh, my God, she has to have a bell.
Yep. Okay. All right.
I'm going to go in the other room. I'm going to start.
If you want to be on the side of mugs, good luck with that.
One down, 399 more pictures to go. I hope your mailbox has plenty of room. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Good evening. Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands. The 9/11 attacks were carried out by Al-Qaeda, an organization headed by Osama bin Laden, which had openly declared war on the United States and was committed to killing innocents in our country and around the globe. And so we went to war against Al-Qaeda. And finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, the United States launched a target operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
A firefight, hand-to-hand. So the helicopters show up, and what do they do? Alex, you and your boyfriend were up late dissecting how this worked. Did they lower a ladder and then rappel down into the thing? It wasn't just enough for them to land in the compound, was it?
We're dropping bombs. I don't know. I was on vacation last week in Vegas, so we heard parts of it like in the cab, and then, you know, I obviously watched the news like everybody else. I was fascinated.
Right.
Apparently, there were a few women that died on the property, which sucks if you're some concubine or some maid.
I heard they grabbed someone.
Sorry, you know.
They tried to get him to surrender, and he wouldn't. Put a fight.
Can you imagine that conversation? Seriously, just put the gun down. Seriously, we'll take you back alive. It's okay. Come on.
Who's the badass who pulled the trigger on Osama bin Laden?
I want to make that guy. With him so hard. If it's a chick, more power to you. If you were undercover, I love it.
Beerbug said he'd have sex with the dude.
Yep.
All right. It didn't take long. You'd think that this would be a unifying moment for America where everybody would go, hey, I don't care who you are or what you believe, but this is good news. This is USA, USA, USA. It didn't take long for this kind of talk to start. And here's the email I got from Kevin and Bean listener George, because ladies and gentlemen, there's no big event that has ever happened. I don't care if it's the moon landing. I don't care if it's 9/11. There's no event that happens that the conspiracy theorists don't crawl out of the woodwork within minutes. Here's the email we just got from George. Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa. First of all, it's all a publicity stunt to gain votes for Obama for his next election. Because we're right in the throes of that campaign right now. Because Election Day is tomorrow. So, of course, they needed
timing.
To do this, right?
Timing,
right? I mean, if you're going to fake it, don't you wait a year to fake it, right?
Yeah,
what's the rush? Why do it now, right? Secondly, the body was dumped in the ocean. The evidence is lost. Okay, now let me stop right there for folks who haven't heard. Apparently, that is true. Apparently, the body has been buried at sea. In accordance to Muslim tradition, you're supposed to dispose of the body within a day. And they didn't want it. The United States did not want to turn it into a shrine. They didn't want to have a place where people could go and worship at the gravestone of Osama bin Laden. So he's in some mysterious point in the ocean. We don't know where it is.
But they're also trying to be respectful to his faith. Quote unquote, and not upset anybody.
They want to be more respectful to his faith than he was
to his faith. Exactly.
Good point.
Kevin, I mean, Lister Paul Lee, says, I think they shouldn't drop him in the ocean. They should plant his body at the South Pole, which, of course, is Earth's ass. I would love to see Al-Qaeda trying to make pilgrimage there. As far as I know, when no one owns the South Pole, so we don't need permission. But how funny would it be if you want to go and visit Osama bin Laden, you've got to go to the South Pole, Paul says.
That's awesome.
All right, George continues. Secondly, the body was dumped into the ocean. The evidence is lost. Now they're going to stage some pictures in order to give the public some sort of evidence. Lastly, all the audio tapes and videos that have been released have been staged by doubles. There is evidence that states the voices aren't the same, and there's more than one Osama lookalike in all the videos as well. He's been dead for some time. This is just being done so Obama's approval goes up.
Oh.
By the way, enjoy the show. I've been listening for many years. And yes, I am crazy. Well,
at least he admits it.
At least you said it, so we didn't have to. Let's talk to Ian on line two to get us started.
Dude, it's freaking USA Day. I swear, everybody should be just fist pumping in their car on the way to work, just screaming USA. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. What have you seen otherwise that has made you think that? I mean, have you seen other people who have not felt that way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every single Facebook or Twitter post for every single one that says, yeah, Osama's dead, there's a... Let's remember that this is only one death and it doesn't pay back for everything else. Or let's remember, you know, that you're being judged too by God or whatever. Like, there's always a counter for everything. It's ridiculous how these people are just saying, like, oh, we don't know if he's really dead. You know, like, we didn't see a body. Oh, now it's dumped at sea. Oh, that's convenient.
Hey, a lot of people are feeling that way. And I think, Alex, you were saying during the song, there are people who just can't deal with good news for whatever reason. And maybe it's because maybe they braced themselves from being lied to because it has happened in the past.
Right.
The government is not the most trustworthy organization in the world.
And I completely understand that. And we've had legitimate reasons in the past to be concerned or worried. But I think particularly after 9/11, there's And also with, you know, Twitter and everything, the pessimists of the world, you know, the half empty have a larger outlet. And sometimes they just can't accept that good S happens, just like bad S. So deal with it. Just be happy that we caught the SOB.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's try Eli. Eli's on line 4 calling us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Eli. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
Hi. Yeah. I'm part of the party who, it's not about a conspiracy, but just taking someone's life for me is just too powerful, and the fact that we're celebrating a, you know, murder, it just kind of doesn't sit well. It's not that, you know, that I don't think we should have gone in and maybe brought him to justice, you know, gone and put him in prison or something, but to actually go and take a life and then to have people celebrate that.
Look, there were a lot of people last night who were saying, as even though this is good news, we shouldn't treat it like the Super Bowl. It is a little more of a somber occasion than that. I get where those people are coming from. But if you go to Osama bin Laden's hideout and you ask him to surrender and he doesn't, what are you supposed to do? Just go, okay, I'll come back later and see if you've changed your mind. I mean, he had the opportunity to go to trial and be and whatnot and decided not to.
Yeah, again, I'm a something called a pacifist, someone who just can't take a life. And even things like the death penalty don't sit well with me. But it's just, again, like, the more people who are celebrating it disturbs me. And, yeah, who are treating...
How do you think we should be reacting today?
I know it should be done as in, you know, oh, it's... I remember the day that basically Saddam Hussein was put to death, and people were saying that it was a good thing, but I didn't see people going out into the streets making Facebook posts and things like that, you know, to just say, hey, it happened, it's a good thing, but to not go and, you know, do the tailgating party thing.
But doesn't that make more sense, though? Because Saddam Hussein's not the one who killed 3,000 Americans on 9/11. Osama bin Laden is. I mean, we had a personal stake involved in this one.
No, but still, both were evil men, obviously, who did evil things. But when Saddam Hussein, who we also actually obviously did think so, who was doing the same type of things that Osama bin Laden was doing, that we didn't do this. We didn't treat it this way.
All right, let me ask you one last question. Then we got to move on to some other calls, Eli. Are you glad Osama bin Laden is dead?
I'm not glad we killed him, but, you know, I just, you know, I wish that there would have been a way that wouldn't have involved that.
Well, there wasn't. Thanks for the call. Let's try Joe, line 6. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to agree with George because, I mean, it has to be a publicity stunt. If it's not for the votes, I mean, it's to give the American people some kind of glimmer of hope. I mean,
why does it have to be?
Yeah, why can't it have actually happened? I'm
no,
just
because
curious.
I mean, he is not the one. excuse me, he's not the one that single-handedly did 9/11, and they created this image in him that we had to fear him. And then now that he's gone, I mean, what the hell is next?
Well, what? We don't know what's next yet, but they did have him on video taking credit for 9/11, talking about how he was involved in the planning of how far apart the planes were and what he was expecting was going to happen and how joyous he was that it had gone down the way it did. I mean, if Osama bin Laden wasn't responsible for 9/11, who was?
Well, the videos of Osama bin Laden have been, you know, critiqued and everything. There's different videos of him, and you can clearly tell that there's something wrong with him. I mean, have you ever heard of the movie Zeitgeist?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. And Loose Change, of course, yeah.
No, I mean, look. No, there's more. It's not just me just, you know, oh, I'm going to believe everything this movie says. It's just you got to kind of look into it yourself.
Okay.
So we would be so lame to create that guy as our enemy and then wait 10 years kill him. Why wouldn't we create someone that we could take down in a year and then woo?
I don't have all the answers, guys. What do you want me to say?
I'm just curious why you think it's a publicity stunt. Does that mean you think it did not happen, that they did not kill him?
Oh, I mean, he might be dead. I mean, possibly.
But you're upset that it helps the president? I'm trying to figure out
No. I don't really care for the president, don't get me wrong, but I mean, that's nothing personal against the guy. I mean,
I'm trying to figure out what you think it's all about then. If you don't think he was the mastermind behind 9/11 and that's why we've been hunting for him for 10 years and that's why we killed him, I'm trying to figure out what you think is happening here.
Everything else that's happened in the other wars, it's just a different time, a different era. I mean, what's war for us? It means death for us civilians. You know, it means, you know, heartbreak for the families. And then, but
well, I think the families are feeling a little bit better today, though.
Well, I mean, good for them. You know, honestly, good for them, really.
All right, Joe, we got to go. Thanks for the call. That's a young baby band called Foster the People on the world-famous K-Rock, one of the great bands you'll have a chance to see on Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. See, this is what's awesome about the Weenie Roast we do every year.
Mm.
Yeah, you get your superstar bands, you get your Linkin Park, yeah, and your Rise Against, your mm-hmm. Strokes, and your right. Bad Religion.
Yes.
But you also get a chance to see bands like Young the Giant yeah. and Foster the People.
NeNe Leakes. NeNe Leakes is going to be on.
Not NeNe Leakes.
I've never heard her sing before, so that's
good. No, she's for the Real Housewives.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
This is Leakey
now
Lee.
She's going to be singing on stage. I think it's going to be quite a leap for her in her career.
Also, the Airborne Toxic event, Face to Face, A Day to Remember in Neon Trees. It's all part of a great lineup on Saturday, June 4th, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Details and ticket information available for you at krock.com. It is 9:42. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Although, thanks to the big news last night with Osama bin Laden, for some reason it feels like Friday. Or it feels like a holiday today, maybe.
Yeah.
It's got a weird feeling about it. It didn't feel like a Monday because it's so exciting. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
You're not feeling that at all, are you?
Interesting take on the day's events.
I'm just saying I'm happy, that's all. Time for the Showbiz Beat, though. Here's Ralph Barman to bring us all down.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Best opening ever for April in movie history. Fast Five made $83.6 million in its debut.
Yeah!
Wow, that's a lot of money. A lot of money to watch Paul Walker drive fast. Rio was number two at the box office, $14.4 million to watch parrots talk. Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family, $10 million, made it third. Water for Elephants and the new film Prom rounded out the top five. Then another debut, you had Hoodwinked 2. Soul Surfer was number seven. Insidious, Hop, and Source Code rounding out the top ten for the box office this weekend.
With those top three that you mentioned, Ralph, we could be living in the new golden age of cinema.
Yeah, Fast Five, Rio, and Tyler Perry's Madea's yeah. Big Happy Family.
I mean, it's practically Godfather, Apocalypse Now, and the conversation all over again.
I think it's just make one movie. Just have Madea be a parrot driving a car, and let's just get it over with, and give him $4 billion.
Yeah.
We can just say, been there, done that. Angelina from the Jersey Shore announced last week that she was pregnant. She was very pleased and very excited that her fiancé, Dave Kovacs, and she were going to have a baby together. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Turns out Dave Kovacs, her ex-fiancé, told Radar Online he's no longer engaged to Angelina. The reason? She was sleeping around.
Now, is the baby his?
They don't know. He has some doubts. He said, I got a text from a firefighter who actually apologized for sleeping with Angelina, saying he just found out that she was engaged. And then when you add to it that he found a pair of men's underwear in her car.
Oh, man.
That weren't his. He figured maybe it's time to end this relationship. Oh. So he did. So Angelina will now be a 24-year-old single mom.
Excellent.
From Jersey. My God. Who the hell cares?
I'm just saying.
This is tragic that all of this is happening away from filming for the Jersey Shore. Right?
It'd be so good to be calling her a whore and things and be funny.
Now, she wasn't Snooki's friend who looks like Snooki who moved into the house for a while. This was somebody else, right? Who used to be on the show and then left and then came back. I don't watch the Jersey Shore.
You sound like you've got brain damage.
I'm trying to keep up with the show.
When you know the difference between Dina and Angelina.
I don't know who these people are.
I don't know what. There's no hope for you. There's nothing left for you.
So Osama is the president. Obama is the guy we killed, right?
It depends on whether you're watching Fox or not.
I just want to make sure.
Tallulah Bell-Lewis, Tallulah Bell-Willis is in trouble. The first few names may not sound familiar, but the last one does. Yes, it's the daughter of Bruce Willis and Demi Moore.
Ooh.
Tallulah Bell is 17 years old, and she was arrested by the cops last Friday night. Turns out, policemen were watching three young ladies leaving a car with big bottles of booze in their hands. Turns out, it was the real deal, and they were underage, so they were all hauled downtown on minor in possession charges, and apparently mom had to come out and bail her daughter out of jail.
Oops.
Yeah, that's not fun for anybody.
No.
Bruce was going to break him out, but and he insisted on going through proper channels, which I think takes all the fun out of it. I'm sure Bruce could have got his hands on a chopper. Come down, laid down some cover fire.
Sure.
Maybe blown a hole in one of the walls with some C4. Move! Loaded everybody in the chopper, and they would have been on their way. No one would have been the wiser.
Bruce Willis probably couldn't. It wasn't available to break out his daughter because he was over in Pakistan taking care of the other thing.
That's right. And putting some charges on an asteroid that mm-hmm. was plummeting towards Earth. Mike Tyson's distinctive face tattoo is the source of a legal wrangle between Warner Brothers, and the tattoo artist Vic Whitmill. Vic Whitmill, by the way, used to be my old radio name, and I can't believe this. I actually got out there with that name. He says that that design, that distinctive design that Mike has around his left eye, is copyrighted. And the fact that Ed Helms' character in Hangover Part 2 wakes up with the same tattoo on his face is an infringement of that copyright. He is now suing to stop the release of the movie.
I gotta say, I don't know the law on this or whether he had officially actually copyrighted his design, but I think he might have a case.
Well, it's nothing a check won't solve, and I'm guessing why he's suing. But the movie isn't out till May 26th, so there's still plenty of time to settle out of court, and that's what people are speculating. But it would be the first time I've ever heard of a tattoo, that artwork being copyrighted. Of course,
I mean, in theory,
people probably don't ever borrow it like that.
Right,
so
right.
That's probably the first time it's come up. But yeah, it all makes sense. If he's got it, then
I'm sure Kat Von D, you know, and other tattoo artists have done distinctive, you know, designs that are one of a kind. And then what's to stop somebody else from copying that design and putting it on their own body? I've never heard of this before either.
To stop someone from doing that.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah, right. And as we're talking about movies, it's only appropriate that we talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger's next film. Yes, he's getting back in the movie business. It's not going to be a new Terminator movie. It's not going to be a sequel to anything. It's an original film called Cry Macho, which is based on a 1975 book about a troubled aging horse trainer who, in exchange for some retirement money, agrees to kidnap his boss's 11-year-old son.
What's the real plot?
That's really it. So Arnold will play the troubled aging horse trainer who needs cash and so kidnaps an 11-year-old. I can't tell. Is this funny? Is it a drama? Is it an action? Is it a... What the hell? What the hell?
I think it's probably going to be presented as a drama, but we'll find it hilarious, is what I think.
The horse is not jumping well. I'm going to kidnap you. Come with me, 11-year-old, if you want to live.
So we got that to look forward to. Anytime Arnold tries to act, it's just hilarious to me.
It's not Christine York, it's Christine York.
Oh, that was the best.
Best line he ever said.
He can't just retire and take his hundreds of millions of dollars and just relax and enjoy himself. He's not that kind of person, right?
He needs to be loved. He needs everyone looking at him and talking about him and loving him.
All right.
He'll never go away.
I will tell you, I think if he were eligible, I think he could win the presidency.
Do you really?
I really do.
How could he run on this record? Yeah, how could he run on what he did for the state of California when it's in such disarray?
He has the cult of personality. People love him. People believe in him. People are uplifted by him.
That's because he can pick up a lot of stuff. So he can, he can uplift a lot of people, but I'm saying...
I'm telling you, even though he had his critics in California as governor, he would carry the state of California if he ran for president.
Excuse me. California.
Oh, sorry. Get it right. California. That's right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Christine Baranski from The Good Wife. She is 59 years old. Dwayne The Rock Johnson celebrating the number one movie in America on his birthday. He's 39. David Beckham is 36. Jenna Von Oy. Speaking of David Beckham, have you seen that new Diet Pepsi commercial with Sofia Vergara?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Good gosh.
When you get up close, she's very homely.
No, she's not. She's done. Ow. Jenna Von Oy of Blossom is 34 years old. Actress Ellie Kemper, Erin from The Office, is 31. Did you see when she accepted her Dundee and she broke up with Gabe on stage in front of everyone?
Yes.
On the microphone? Oh, so awesome. Singer Lily Allen, who only Muggs and I apparently think is attractive anymore. She is 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and thanks to everybody for listening today. Tomorrow we'll be back with an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are lining up a military expert, since official details are not coming out very quickly. We want to find somebody who can speculate as to how the mission might have gone down to take out Osama bin Laden.
Major announcement?
I think major announcement might be stopping by. I certainly hope so. We didn't have time for it today, but in light of the news that's coming out about the book about the Jackson family that's being written by Alexandra Jackson. Is that her name?
Alejandra, I believe.
Alejandra Jackson. She was married to and had children with two of the Jackson brothers.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're going to be taking your calls if you've ever dated two members of the same family, because that seems like, oh, I don't know, it might be a little awkward. Also, we got some highlights in a conversation about the new season of Chloe and Lamar that debuted on E! Last night. That got bumped from today's schedule. Very, very busy. And tomorrow, how about this? Tomorrow is the release of the Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. Ladies and gentlemen, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll be welcoming two members of the Beast. Boys, Mike D and Ad Rock. That's going to be right here tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean.